Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Monday, June 28th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, that tractor-trailer accident on the Schuylkill Expressway. So the trailer was carrying deli meats, and it caught fire on the Schuylkill early Monday morning. It happened at 3:45 a.m. on the eastbound side of the Schuylkill near the Conshohocken Curve. The driver of the truck was able to detach the cab portion of the burning trailer. The driver was not injured. The burning trailer crashed, sending debris onto the roadway.
Now, this is a serious question.
Yes.
I know there's a tragedy, and hopefully nobody was really hurt in this thing.
Yeah.
But do you think it did smell like a barbecue?
I would have to imagine, right?
Deli meat, yes, on yes. fire, question. Like, you
sure.
know, like roasting ham or yeah. something like that.
Well, all right, so not that long ago.
Ham, definitely.
Something happened where, like, wasn't there, like, syrup or, like, molasses or something like that was
yes,
stole?
And people could smell it around the area.
Yeah,
you're right. It,
yeah.
it was, like, a couple of months ago.
I assume yes. It probably smells delightful
yes.
around
no,
there.
I'm going to assume no on that. I think that fire is going to overtake the smell.
There's fuel
I think
and other
that
things.
Is, yeah. That's a legitimate scientific question, Preston. If you burn a truck full of deli meat, yes, I would have to imagine you would smell it,
you
right?
You would smell some, yeah, so. some cooking.
I mean, meat. Yes, you're not in favor of burning deli trucks.
Right.
You're simply observing.
I want to know if anybody lives in the area,
yeah.
if they woke up and thought maybe somebody was making a grilled ham sandwich
I do.
Or
I live
like
in the
that.
Area. It didn't smell like ham.
It smells yeah. good.
You remember when you were a kid and like, you'd smell bacon
oh,
in the
yeah.
morning? Mom's cooking
yeah.
bacon on a Saturday morning? Oh, that was a great way to wake up, man.
You're the crackling of the fire.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So, man, I had so many questions about this. But when you... When you, did you smell the fire? That's what I was going to ask, Kat. Did you smell the fire? You didn't smell the cooking meat, but did you smell the fire?
Like fuel? You would smell the smoke, right?
Yeah.
I didn't, no, I didn't smell the fire. I think it was a little further up. Like, I passed over the Schuylkill, and I couldn't even see it. So it was closer eastbound, like closer to us here okay. in Bala Cynwyd, I think.
Yeah.
Fire crews were called to the scene that was, and they shut down both eastbound lanes of the Schuylkill Expressway. Of course, you're going to start to see a gaper delay on the westbound side. People
they got the original call, Kathy, they thought it was a bunch of baloney.
Oh! Yes!
It may have been.
Drivers are advised to take alternate routes, including Route 23, Ridge Pike, and Lancaster Avenue. So we'll keep you updated throughout the morning as to when they can get that reopened.
By the way, is baloney pork?
What is baloney?
What is
That's a good question.
You question. Know.
Hot dogs, right?
I know
well,
people
love hot dogs.
Well,
hot dogs
I'm the wrong person to ask. I told you guys that I ate liver. I ate bologna for like a year and a half before I realized it wasn't what I preferred. Liverwurst. So that's how stupid I am.
All right. Bologna sausage, also spelled, well, bologna sausage, also
yeah.
spelled bologna, is a sausage derived from mortadella, a similar looking finely ground pork sausage containing cubes of pork fat. Originally from the Italian city of Bologna.
So it's
Bologna.
Pork fat.
No.
People
right.
don't stand for
they
it.
They don't.
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't stand for bologna.
So gross.
Haven't had bologna in a long time. I think I'm going to have to revisit that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Why
it's all
is
right.
that not like a standard?
Because it stinks.
But I mean, like, it's not, right? Is it in, like, the
Bologna's
deli counter
great.
With the, I know, but I'm saying, like.
That's right, it stinks!
Why is it not a, like, why is that not burning on the Schuylkill? Why is it ham?
I'm just guessing it was
we
ham.
We don't know what's in the truck.
I know, I'm kidding.
It's
but,
a lot
like,
of supposition.
When you go to the deli meat, is bologna, I mean,
it's
when you go
there.
To the deli counter, is
yeah.
bologna, it is there?
I just think it had its day. I think, like, back in the 70s and 80s, it was a more popular, easy to go to, and then we got a little more health conscious of,
right,
of fat
okay.
content and so on.
Bologna was a standard lunch
oh,
box
a
bologna
sandwich.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely.
With mustard.
Oh, really? See, I went to mayonnaise.
Yeah,
oh,
bologna, no. bologna. Yeah,
oh,
I'm
God.
With you, Steve. Mustard.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bologna,
that's
cheese,
far.
And mayonnaise.
Bologna and mayo.
Bologna and mayo. That
yeah.
sounds kind of nice.
I was a mayo guy.
Okay, we're moving on. Today,
we are or not?
Yes, we are.
Thing.
Today, the mask requirement is lifted in Pennsylvania after more than a year. Those who are not vaccinated are still encouraged to wear them. Last month, state officials said Pennsylvania would lift its mask mandate on June 28th, or when 70% of the state's population was fully vaccinated. June 28th came first. The CDC still requires people to wear masks on public transportation, on planes, in airports, and at train stations. Businesses can still dictate whether or not masks are required in their stores and establishments, which obviously is creating some confusion for customers. customers, people never know walking into a store if they should be wearing a mask or not. Nearly 60% of adults in the Commonwealth are fully vaccinated, and about 56.5% in Philadelphia. In Pennsylvania, 7.6 million residents are partially vaccinated, and about 75% of Pennsylvanians 18 and over. Pennsylvania lifted all other COVID-19 restrictions on Memorial Day. Earlier in May, the Pennsylvania Health Department followed the CDC's guidance to ease mask wearing orders for fully vaccinated people, allowing them to stop wearing masks outdoors and in most indoor settings. The universal masking order in Pennsylvania was originally issued on April 15th, 2020. The Philadelphia Parks and Recreation Department will announce Monday which of the 74 city pools will reopen this summer. The department posted on Twitter that they've been working around the clock to hire lifeguards. Finding and training lifeguards to work at neighborhood pools has been a challenge for the city due to the pandemic. Dozens of positions have already been filled, but they're saying there is still a need. The Parks and Recreation Department helps candidates to obtain Red Cross lifeguard certification. Courses were suspended in 2020 due to the pandemic, but now training is back up and running again.
And Kathy and Casey have both said best summer jobs ever.
Oh, yeah.
Lifeguard, without question.
It was great.
So if you're looking to go and have a cool adventure job this summer, there you go. There's your gig, man.
So you remember I told the story about having the kids in the neighborhood over to the pool because a lot of them were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They came, a couple of them came back, and one of them just got his first job as a lifeguard.
Yay,
and he was like so, you know,
dude.
I'm going to, and he's very, you know, committed to it. It was so cool. And
that's
he actually
great.
Brought a younger friend of his to teach, to kind of bone up on his lifeguard skills, to teach him swimming and so on and so forth. It was so cool to see it.
We saw lifeguard training going on at the beach this weekend.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
And there were like, you know, groups of them out there. Now they're getting out in the ocean and stuff. It was pretty intense. But to be a lifeguard, that's a pretty cool little badge, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, and what's really cool is the certification is free for applicants 16 to 24 years of age who commit to working at City Pool. So they'll pay for your certification.
Excellent.
Otherwise, the certification is $110 for all other candidates. City lifeguard positions start at $15 an hour and go up to $16.95 an hour. Yeah, it's a pretty good deal.
And those who sign up now will receive recently cooked deli meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
It's just the free certification.
Okay.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
No, I love that.
You asked for it.
Yeah, you did. You started it.
I asked for it once. Five times is overkill.
Now you're getting it forever.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
The Phillies beat the Mets yesterday afternoon in New York, winning 4-2. Zach Wheeler threw 7 scoreless innings against his former team, and the Phillies earned a split in the 4-game series.
Nice.
Wheeler allowed 4 hits, walked 2, and struck out 8. His final strikeout was his 130th of the season, lifting him into a tie with the Indians, Shane Bieber, for the big league lead. The Phillies have a makeup game today as they'll take on the Reds in Cincinnati after the two teams were rained out in the beginning of the month. Spencer Howard will get the start. Game time is at 6:40. In the NBA playoffs, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Hawks 113-102 last night in Atlanta. Chris Middleton scored 20 of his 38 points in the fourth quarter. The Bucks now have a 2-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. Game 4 is tomorrow night in Atlanta. And the Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight as the Montreal Canadiens will take on the Lightning in Game 1 in Tampa Bay. No Canadian team won the Stanley Cup since Montreal did it back in 1993. The puck is set to drop at 8 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Here's a follow-up on the burning deli meat truck text. It says, I drove past the accident on the way to work. The most powerful smell was more like a burning rubber.
Yes.
Oh,
well, you would imagine.
Didn't smell any meat, they said. Yeah, I smelled meat one time that smelled like burning rubber.
That's true, yeah.
So you never know. All right, well, we welcome you to a Monday morning. We have a new Word of the Week prize that is all set to go for you, and it's a booze-related one we have from Revivalist Spirits. I'm wearing their shirt today, by the way.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Revivalist Spirits. A bottle each of these. They're amazing Revivalist Vodka, refreshing Revivalist Summertime Gin, and Young American Bourbon Yummy. And a $50 gift card to the Brandywine Branch Bistro as well. They have a great little restaurant there. It's an awesome place. Revivalist Spirits, voted top craft gin distillery by USA Today. You can order online for free delivery anywhere in Pennsylvania with the purchase of 2 bottles or more. But you must be 21 years of age or older. So we will give that away today. Everybody good on this Monday morning?
Yeah, very good. Everybody. Very good.
Yep. Excellent. Back from a warm weekend and a warm week. As we said, it's going to get hot. We have a heat wave that is in effect as we speak. It's going to feel like over 100 degrees.
Yeah, like crazy temperatures in the Midwest and out toward, Seattle was 103 or something like that.
All-time record temperature in Portland over the weekend. Yeah. It's never, ever been this hot on recorded record.
And I believe we have the return of Bill Weston today. If we can, I don't know what time he's coming into work, but we have to find out. He's been out riding his motorcycle out in the West, and he was headed right into those really high temperatures as well. We have to see how that went.
I had a good time.
Yeah,
right. It was really good.
So maybe we'll have a little visit from him today. We'll have to find out. All right, but business as usual. We got stuff to give away and things to talk about. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. A stupid question and some entertainment stories from the weekend to regale you with. Stay put. We'll be back in a moment.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's give something away. We got a stupid question prize digital download of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory because it's 50 years.
Dear God.
It's been out. I know. We're going to have a cast member on this this week, I believe.
Yep.
Yes. Tomorrow.
So let me see. The stupid question I'm going to have for you has to do with the country of Jamaica. There are two United States. There are two states that are smaller than the island of Jamaica. Name them both. 215-263 WMMR. All right. Let's see if you know the answer. The two states that are smaller than Jamaica. 215-263 WMMR. Birthdays today. Several of them. We're going to start with the biggest one on my list. In my personal opinion, I think, Steve, you would agree, too. It's Mel Brooks' birthday.
Yes. Legend.
Big one for him. He's 95.
Inquisition. Yeah. Let's begin the Inquisition.
Look out, Sam.
We have a mission to convert the Jews. We're going to teach them
wrong from right.
We're going to help them
see the light
and make an offer that they can't refuse.
That the Jews just can't refuse.
I have not seen History of the World Part 1 in a long, 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 long time.
I quote it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like of the latter Brooks stuff, even a hit and miss Mel Brooks is still a really good time. You know,
I mean, I loved it.
And
it
was supposed to be a second.
I know. And they tease it at the end.
Yes.
They do Jews in Space, Hitler on Ice, things that they show, a Viking funeral.
Right.
But I don't know if that was the intention of to actually make a movie or they were just having fun with it.
There was apparently, despite the end thing, which was done as a joke, but they were going to, because there's a bit more history to cover.
Yeah.
You guys
like
The Producers?
I love it. It's a masterpiece.
It in so long.
I know, me too. I was just thinking, and there's been remakes and then Broadway and then back to the big screen again. Mm-hmm.
That was a tough one because, I mean, that's earlier on in Mel Brooks. If you want to see, there's a very funny movie he directed and wrote called The 12 Chairs with Dom DeLuise and Frank Langella, and it's really good, and it's based on an old Russian story. But he has stuff going all the way back, and The Producers, when it came out, was considered outlandish. Like, how could you do that?
Right.
And it was great.
Right. So the great Mel Brooks turns 95 years old today. Watch a Mel movie if you can.
That's where Blue Blankie comes from.
The Producers. Yes. Exactly, yeah. We also have Kathy Bates celebrating a birthday today.
Didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car!
Yes.
For Oscar-winning performance.
As Annie Wilkes, I think is her name, in Misery. Yeah, yeah. She turns 73 years old.
I'm having a brain fart, but what's the other King Doris...
Dolores Claiborne.
Dolores Claiborne, which is an underrated movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I thought about reading that book. That's one of the King books that I haven't gotten to, but it's a really down story, I'll eventually get to it. But she was great in that
movie. Really good.
Danielle Brisebois.
Ooh.
She was in the band New Radicals. That's correct. But she also was in All in the Family.
Little
Stephanie.
That's right.
Yeah.
And on Archie's Place.
That is correct. And then she appeared in Knott's Landing. I wasn't aware of that, but she turns 52 years old today. Danielle Brisebois. It's also John Cusack's birthday today. John Cusack turns 55 years old.
You must chill! You must chill!
That's when he's... The guy wants to get his keys back from... He's the designated driver, and
He's in so much of that stuff that I love from that era, and that's why... But yet he apparently kind of turned his back on it. That's why it was good to see him in the Hot Tub Time Machine movies. It was almost like, okay, I'm cool with this now, you know?
So John turns 55 today. It's John Elway's birthday today. Former quarterback, turns 61.
Made more money selling cars than he ever did as a quarterback.
Did he really?
He's got a ton of car dealerships out in Colorado, and he's just made a mint doing
that. He's got a restaurant at the airport.
Yeah.
I've seen that while I've been there. I think it's just called Elway's.
Yeah.
But no kidding, he's made more in the car business than he did as a quarterback.
That's why those endorsement deals are so important.
Yeah, he's like Piazza out there. You know, there's Piazza, Mike Piazza. Car dealerships all over the Delaware Valley. Elway in Colorado.
Okay.
He's the one who came up with Roasted as a tagline.
Roasted. Yeah. Yeah.
Marketing genius.
Yeah. I need something that's cooking related.
How about Roasted?
The two at the top of the list now are pureed and roasted.
Go with Roasted.
Roasted. I like it.
Write it down.
John Elway, 61. Mary Stuart Masterson, the actress.
Yeah, she's great.
I haven't seen her in anything in a long, long time. It doesn't mean she's not acting. There's so many things out there.
It just means that everything she's in stinks.
I don't know what she would have been in as of late. But I tell you what I loved her in. Is Some Kind of Wonderful.
She's awesome.
I love that movie. That movie has always been a favorite of mine.
Shall we spoil it? She gets the guy.
Okay. Yeah. She gets the guy. And then what was the movie that she was in with Sean Penn?
At Close Range. Yeah, she's really good.
It was a good movie, too.
Yeah, she's very good.
It was a messed up movie. But she turns 55 years old today. She been in anything lately?
Yeah, she's still working. So there was a TV show that I don't know called Blind Spot. She was in that for 4 or 5 seasons. And then,
is that the tattooed one?
I think she wakes up tattooed and she's like, it's not her, but this other woman is like a secret agent.
Okay, yeah. So she was in that, and so she continues to work.
All right.
She's 55 today. It is also an actor named Gil Bellows' birthday today. Nick pointed him out to me. In Shawshank Redemption, he plays Tommy, Mr. Rock and Roll.
Oh, okay.
Great character in that movie.
He's in a lot of stuff.
And he has an unfortunate ending in that film.
What he was in? He was the love interest in Ally McBeal.
Was he?
She had the crush on him.
That's right, yeah.
It was never requited.
Yeah, his character in Shawshank the Book does not meet the same fate. Do you remember that, Preston? Did you read the book?
I remember there were a lot of things that were different in the book, and I don't remember what happens to him.
He ends up on Dance Moms.
No, he does not. That wasn't even around then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They literally just transfer him to another prison, and I found the impact of what happened in the movie much more impactful.
Yeah, I did like the movie better than the story. In the book, Andy, all that stuff that he finds buried that Red had left for him.
Right.
The other way around, that Andy Andy had done that before he went to prison. He left all that stuff for himself.
So the puppy didn't fare well.
No, the puppy didn't do well at all.
No, what is this?
He left the water ran out.
There's a bunch of bones in a bag.
But
that's the puppy.
He had buried all that stuff for himself before he went to prison because he had a feeling he was going to be busted. Yeah, it was interesting.
Wow. That's kind of...
But the movie, it does it so well.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. So Gil is 54. And then last birthday, it's Elon Musk's 50th birthday today. I thought he was older than 50 years old.
So did I. Yeah. Best known as a guest host on SNL and then, of course, Tesla.
Right.
He
does shine in different ways.
Right.
But
he is, to me, is the heir apparent to the kind of Steve Jobs sort of mythology that we haven't had in a while.
And what's his squeeze's name, his girlfriend? They're not married, are they?
No.
Halsey? Is that her? No, that's a guy.
Not Halsey.
No, Halsey's a girl.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Grimes.
Yes.
Grimes, Halsey.
Yes.
Halsey Grimes.
Lil Yachty.
Yeah, Lil Yachty as well. Let's throw one of those in there. All right. Anyhow, he is 50 today, Elon Musk. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to the stupid question this morning. There are two states that are smaller than the island of Jamaica. What are they? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Jackie, see if we can get the answer. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jackie, I need the two states smaller than Jamaica, please.
Delaware and Rhode Island.
You got it.
Delaware seems appropriate, right, Preston?
Yes, it does. Hang on a second, Jackie. We are going to set you up. We're going to give you a digital download of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You can celebrate 50 years of pure imagination with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Feast your eyes on the sweet treats and whimsical magic like you've never seen it before. You can own it now on digital 4K and Ultra HD. And yes, Bob Marley actually lived in Wilmington, Delaware for a little while.
Yes, he did.
It's a pretty wild story. All right, we'll go through the box office take of the weekend. Well, the blockbuster's finally back. $70 million for F9. That's a pretty big take.
Yes. So far, post-pandemic, it's the biggest take of them all, right?
Yeah. So no surprise there. And for perspective, the second place film, A Quiet Place 2, made $6.2 million.
So I still want to see that.
Huge difference. Me too.
I think I'm going to end up seeing it. I wanted to see it in the theater, but I'll probably end up seeing it at home because I think it will be available in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, yep. Really? The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, then Peter Rabbit 2, Cruella, The Conjuring 3, In the Heights was number 7, followed by Spirit Untamed.
I watched In the Heights.
Oh, you did?
It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who could have an issue with it.
Number 9 was 12 Mighty Orphans, and then the top 10 was rounded out by Nobody.
You know what? I was reading a bunch of the reviews, Preston, and for F9, and even the most... I enjoy the series. It's, you know, it's crazy. But most... every one of the reviews said, okay, now it's just a superhero movie. Like,
oh, really?
It's so over the top. That and many of the critics who had been supporting it up the series up to now say, okay, you lost me now. It's
what you should do is
it's too much.
Watch the first one,
right,
and then F9 back to back and go,
this is a sequel.
What happened in between?
Yeah. How did we get here?
Yeah. All right, so some stories to run by you. We'll start with Prince Harry. He has returned to the UK ahead of the unveiling of a statue in honor of his late mother, Princess Diana.
I'm black.
At Kensington Palace on July 1st is when that's coming up. Would have been her 60th birthday. Meghan stayed in California with Archie and Lilibet. Rumors and speculation on the current status of Harry and the rest of the feuding royals accompanied the news. And, of course, Diana would not have approved of the way Harry and Brother Prince are arguing. Many do speculate that.
It'd be terrible. And with that in mind, maybe they can patch things up.
Yeah, I would hope so. And with that, I saw a teaser story that I think William was kissing someone or something like
yes.
that. Did you catch that story?
Who was he kissing?
Like an aide or something along those lines?
Yeah.
But I didn't really... I'm kind of bored
Kathy
with this
Bates.
Crap. He was making out with Kathy Bates?
I'm a big fan of Misery. I've often fantasized about.
And here's another bit of information. Prince Charles apparently will not strip Archie and Lilibet of their royal titles, rumors assert, despite previous indications that he would consider it.
I tend to think we get a lot of misinformation.
Yeah. And according to an insider, they said, I don't think he will make the unpopular, hostile move of removing the royal status of his grandchildren. And then you have, basically, people just comment on this.
Absolutely.
Stuff,
he likes to extract from the royal titles, not himself. At this point in time.
Agreed, sir.
Exactly.
So,
why would you do that anyway?
Hang on a second. What does it say? Oh, Prince William promised to give a 96-year-old woman a kiss once the rules relax more during his mini tour.
There you go.
So that was
I would like a lot of tongue, Bill. You misunderstood. You were thinking of a more provincial kiss where I was looking for something more sexual.
Hey, she's 96, man.
Oh, I guess so.
She can ask for whatever she wants.
All right.
Open.
Give me more. Give me more tongue.
Gross.
Dear God, woman, I can taste your pancreas.
That's how deep he went?
Yeah,
or there was bile coming up.
Bile, you know what? You don't know what's bubbling in that old fuselage.
Khloe Kardashian fans are afraid that Tristan Thompson is trying to win her back.
Stop it! Through
social media after he commented on a recent Instagram post with heart emojis.
Queen.
This comes on the heels of
roasted.
News. I knew it. This comes on the...
Don't you roasted me.
On the heels of news, Tristan reportedly slipped into a bedroom at a Bel Air party with three girls. The post was in celebration of her hitting 158 million followers.
Oh, God. I think if you want to show that you are serious about a relationship, you don't go and often do things with lots of other women in bedrooms. That's my take.
Tristan and Chloe split up for the second time over his history of cheating. Chloe reportedly ended things, but according to reports, is reconsidering a romance with him
God
again.
Almighty.
But they had a celebration because she made it to 158 million followers.
Of course he did. Well, now she's at 159.
Oh,
Nick,
well, more champagne. Let's
let's do it.
I was watching. Did you watch Family Feud last night? So they had this JoJo Siwa and this. The dancer, she's she got to the she was early in. She does all the TikTok dance moves. One of them had Preston 112 million followers, and Steve Harvey goes $1 from each of those.
Yeah,
$1,
and you're set for life.
And JoJo Siwa, who I found extraordinarily annoying, but she was energetic. But she's like from the Dance Moms sort of thing. The amount of like 2-3 billion views on YouTube videos, amazing.
Is it this Charlie girl?
That's it. Yeah. Yes,
she's really cute.
I've never heard of her, but Charlie she has 150. All right, whatever.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyhow, a source told Us Weekly, Chloe still loves Tristan and honestly would take him back in a heartbeat, but that's not happening anytime soon. They spent pretty much 24/7 together, and now that she broke up with him, they're not around each other.
Is he the only man on earth, for Christ's sake?
She's trying to just adjust and transition into being friendly co-parents and separate her emotions from him.
See, the original time when they did it and they patched it back up, it made sense because she said she wants to have another kid that's a sibling, you know, and do the deal. It made sense. But now, after this, he had an opportunity to establish his fidelity, and he screwed it up.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did he go to that well?
I don't understand.
I don't get it.
Their rationale. I guess there's a circle of people, and when you have that much money and fame, hard to go outside of that circle because maybe you can't trust other people. You know, ulterior motives.
And that's the most confounding.
And you allow them to sleep with three women at a time.
Right.
They'll go three deep, and you're fine with it.
Oh, she's only been with six other people.
Yeah. I don't even want to report on this.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox were styling on a night out in L.A. over the weekend.
Ooh, what were they wearing?
A couple were photographed leaving the Whiskey A Go-Go in West Hollywood following a Youngblood concert. Kelly and Youngblood first teamed up on Kelly's 2019 album, performed a cover of Oasis' Champagne Supernova. A video post online showed them that they met up with Youngblood at one point in the evening. So there you go. They went out. Are we all happy now? We all better?
Listen, we're obviously very tied into their life and want to find out what's going on every weekend.
This is better. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are continuing to enjoy their romance. And
that's
I don't mind reporting on seeing these guys out just because,
Where do you want to go for dinner? Sushi. Raw fish. How about a thick steak?
On Friday night, the lovebirds.
Tell me, do you like your thick steak to bleed? It will.
On Friday night, the Lovebirds had a date night at Avra Beverly Hills Estiatorio.
Yeah.
A source said they enjoyed Mediterranean food in one of the private dining rooms.
Now, I love Mediterranean food, and I would love to have had a meal with both these guys.
And Jen looked amazing, they said. They were both in a great mood.
Tell me, do you like hummus?
They said Ben always looks happy, very happy when he is with Jen.
No, he's high.
The pair were...
High on her, not high.
We're engaged in 2002. Could you imagine in that voice, I'm having a great time. This is so much fun, you know?
This is great.
Yeah.
Are you going to finish that? Tell me, are you going to finish that? I will.
I don't want it. I'm full.
You won't.
The pair were engaged in 2002. Of course, they split in 2004. Now they're kind of going back out.
I would like to see this reach a full conclusion where, you know, that this is they weren't right the first time, but now romance and hope springs eternal, and they get back together, and it's a good thing.
And then, so did her and A-Rod have kids? Or was it her and Michael Anthony?
Yeah, her and Michael Anthony.
Michael
Anthony from Van Halen, yeah.
From
David Lee Roth.
Mark Anthony.
Yes. And Julius Caesar.
So they have kids.
Yes, they have the twins.
So let's say that Ben and she have kids. Imagine the get-togethers that would happen with her, Ben, Mark Anthony, Jennifer Garner, all this. That's a pretty high-profile.
That's a high-profile barbecue
gathering.
Wait, she actually
Tell me, who wants hot dogs and who wants frankfurters?
She had children?
The same thing.
What?
They're the same thing. I think they are.
Yeah.
Anyway, what?
She actually had children?
Yeah, so she gave birth to twins, fraternal twins, Maximilian David and Emmy Maribel, with Mark Anthony back in 2008.
Uh-huh. You know, you totally forget it because it, obviously so much has happened.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I've forgotten who's had kids with who at this point.
This crazy world we live in.
All right, so follow up on Allison Mack, the Smallville actress. She is speaking out as her sentencing looms. She was, of course, involved in the NXIVM sex cult, and in a letter addressing, quote, those who have been harmed by my actions, which accompanied sentencing guidelines recommendations from her attorneys, was obtained by the Hollywood Reporter. Mack wrote, "It is now of paramount importance for me to say from the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry. I threw myself into the teachings of Keith Raniere with everything I had. I believed wholeheartedly that his mentorship was leading me to a better, more enlightened version of myself. I devoted my loyalty, my resources, and ultimately my life to him. This was the biggest mistake and regret of my life." She'll be sentenced on June 30th, so it's coming up in a couple of days.
And she could be looking at a lot, but she did provide evidence, really the evidence that helped convict him. So she might get a better deal.
She will definitely get consideration for that. That's what they're prognosticating anyway. So, you know, we'll see. General Hospital and Kelly Clarkson won big the Daytime Emmy Awards on Friday.
Hey!
Cheryl Underwood hosted the pre-taped show, which aired on CBS. Between distributing trophies, the show featured tributes to Regis Philbin, Larry King, and Alex Trebek.
Listen, I wish I could be there with you, but I'm dead.
Good point.
But to everyone who gave me this award, it really means a lot. I'm not going to hold it against you that you waited until after I passed. But seriously, timing is everything.
So with the Emmy wins, it looks like Kelly will probably be the one they slide into that Ellen slot, you know.
Oh, well, they've already said that's her.
Yeah, so.
And that's to be the first time that ever happened.
Yes, I know. That she slides into the Ellen slot.
I was catching a bit of the Ellen show. She still does a solid job.
She's so good.
She really could stay. I don't think there's, but I guess she's had enough.
Well, she said, this is what she said, but she was going to hang it up after, 19 years or however long it's been.
She does a good show. The Kelly Clarkson thing seems, pretty light and easily digested.
Yeah. All right, we have some audio with this. You can count Bill Maher among the many who hope Quentin Tarantino's movie career doesn't end after his next film. The host of Real Time did his best to convince the director that things don't have to end for him in Hollywood once his next movie is out. He was on the show to promote his new Once Upon a Time in Hollywood book, but Maher essentially used it as a prop to illustrate not only how much he loved the film, but as proof that Tarantino's career should be far from over. I think we have two clips to play here.
Not over yet. We're waiting on them.
No problem.
But he was he was going on and on about you can't quit. You cannot hang it up now.
I agree with I love Quentin Tarantino, but I have to say that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my favorite Tarantino movie. I just love it.
Yeah, and Bill Maher agrees. He calls it his peak.
Yeah.
And essentially Quentin says, "Well, I'm not going to get any better from here on out." But I think the argument is you don't have to get better.
Right.
Yeah. You just can continue to do what you do. And even a little less of what you're better is still freaking great. You're Quentin Tarantino.
Well, because also there have been missteps. Like, there have been movies that I haven't, like Hateful Eight. I mean, that was okay. You know, I wasn't blown away by it. But he still has a lot of juice left, you know?
All right. So what is the first? I have QT1 and QT2 here. One's 8 seconds long, one 46 seconds long. Okay, all right, let's play the short one first. Here we go. Let's see what this is all about.
I actually considered about doing a remake of Reservoir Dogs as my last movie. I won't do it, Internet. All right, but
so that's what he's considering as his last movie.
Then he says he has one movie left,
one more, and then he hangs it up. All right, and then here's Bill Maher trying to convince him not to give it up.
Your latest one is your peak. This is my favorite of all time. So what is this nonsense about you're only going to make one more movie?
Well,
come on.
Yeah.
Bad idea. You're too young to quit, and you're at the top of your game. Why?
That's why I want to quit.
How do you know it's the top?
Because I know film history, and from here on in, directors do not get better.
That's a terrible idea. First of all, you're judging yourself by other people. How do you f***ing know? You're 58?
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
58's the new 57.
No.
That's nice. Funny. Yeah, I don't see a guy like him hanging it up. You know what I mean? I understand the maybe he needs to take a break from it for a little while, and it takes a lot out of him to do a film his way and make it perfect. But
they're spaced out, too. He takes a lot of time.
He's too much of a fan, you know?
But he does do it all. And his last acceptance speech for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was hilarious. Because normally when you go up there, you thank all these people. He's like, but I did it all. So
it was me. But anyway, we'll see if it remains to be true or not. One more movie from Quentin Tarantino, and then he's done.
I would be bummed out if this was the last one.
Gentleman named John Langley. You may not know his name, but he was the creator of the television show Cops, and he died. But he died in a big way, dude. He had a heart attack while racing in the Ensenada San Felipe 250 in Mexico. This is one of those Baja races.
Yeah.
Had a heart attack in the middle of that thing. He was 78 years old. That's pretty intense to be doing that at 78 years old. I mean, that's not just riding on a track. That's going over.
You're getting jostled all over the place.
Crazy stuff.
He was apparently in pretty good shape, but it happened.
There you go. So Langley was participating in his second running of the record off-road series championship race with his son, Zach, fighting for the overall lead in the open class aboard his 50th Baja truck, suffering a heart attack at the height of the Baja racing location. It was, by the way, Cops, a little background on that, was created as an alternative to scripted programming during the 1988 writer's strike. That's why it was, you know, formed in the initial stage. And became a hit for Fox, following, of course, police departments across the country and ride-alongs, earned 4 Emmy nominations during its early years. The show ended its run in 2013, then on Fox, and then moved to Spike, which is now Paramount Network, while finding heavy presence in syndication. Of course, the song Bad Boys by Inner Circle became one of the most famous TV show-themed songs of all time. Langley is regarded as one of the forefathers of reality television.
Yes, clearly.
Cops, along with shows like The Real World, which were out around that time, helped establish both the mass popularity of the format as well as its ability to fill network programming gaps at a much lower cost than scripted shows.
You know what show is huge, and they're gonna bring it back? I think it's Real PD, live, where they're actually live tapped into ride-alongs around the country, and it's pretty amazing.
Through Cops, Langley also popularized the cinema verite style of filmmaking that would become the key visual style of not only the ride-along police show, but TV documentary and news filmmaking as a whole. During the latter half of Cops' run on TV, Langley said in a New York Times interview that his views on law enforcement and justice had greatly changed since he first started filming the police in the 1980s. While he denied claiming that Cops was exploiting the people that it filmed being arrested, he felt that America should move towards a philosophy of rehabilitative justice. So he was 78 years old, and a huge impact on how television was done. Cheaper and entertaining programming.
Well, he went out doing what he liked.
I guess so, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to go out doing something exciting.
Choke on a Pop-Tart. Right? You know, he was doing, loving the race.
Yep. HBO Max is making the first 2 seasons of The Chris Rock Show available to subscribers starting now. The original show aired on HBO from 1997 to 2000. It was sketches, social commentary, celebrity guests, including Prince, George Carlin, Jesse Jackson, Whoopi Goldberg, Missy Elliott, Salt and Peppa. Pretty wild. Yeah. So if you you have HBO Max, you can catch that starting now, The Chris Rock Show, first 2 seasons. And then one final story, Samuel L. Jackson, Danny Glover, Elaine May, and Liv Ullmann will all receive honorary Oscars this year on January 15th, 2022, that is. And according to the Academy President, David Rubin, he said, "We are thrilled to present this year's Governor's Awards to 4 honorees who have had a profound impact on both film and society."
So he said Samuel Jackson, Liv Ullmann, and who else?
Danny Glover and Elaine May.
That's amazing.
He said, "Sam Jackson is a cultural icon whose dynamic work has resonated across genres and generations and audiences worldwide. While Elaine May's bold, uncompromising approach to filmmaking as a writer, director, and actress reverberates as loudly as ever with movie users, Liv Ullmann's bravery and emotional transparency has gifted audiences with deeply affecting screen portrayals, and Danny Glover's decades-long advocacy for justice and human rights reflects his dedication to recognizing our shared humanity on and off screen.
Elaine May's from Philadelphia.
Hey. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and she wrote Ishtar, which many people consider to be the worst movie of all time. Fun fact, my mom was at the premiere of that movie and sat behind O.J. Simpson and Nicole Brown Simpson. Swear to God.
Wow. What was she doing at the premiere?
My aunt Susan lives in Los Angeles, and Susan somehow got an invite and invited my mom, and they got dressed to the nines, and they sat right behind O.J. and Nicole Brown.
Ishtar's not as bad as
it's a guilty pleasure
of mine.
It's
not as bad,
I thought it was fun.
It's got its moments.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great movie, but
it's much maligned.
There's some fun. I mean, Charles Grodin's in it.
Yeah.
On. He's great. And by the way, Danny Glover, has he done anything in a while? Nick, can you look that up? Because I'm curious if he still actively works. I would imagine he does. It's probably not that often.
He's done commercials for that condition that makes you laugh and cry uncontrollably. That was the last thing I've seen him.
And that was years ago.
Yeah.
That came out. He's still cranking some stuff out. Things that I'm not all that familiar with.
You know what? He's in a movie that I really love.
Oh, he was in Jumanji: The Next Level.
Really?
Which I didn't see, so I didn't know that.
Did you ever see Grand Canyon?
I did.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's a great ensemble cast, too.
And his storyline in particular is really great.
Kevin Kline.
Right.
And, there's a number of really good actors and actresses that are in that movie. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the clips. In the Forever Purge. Is this?
Yeah, it's the Purge, but guess what? It's forever.
Thugs from a drug cartel keep the murderous tradition by chasing down a stranded couple. And in this clip, producer James DeMonaco talks about what they did to make this movie stand out from the series. Here we go.
This has to be a whole new visual palette that we could really show the audience that we've done something different. Because that's my thing. I don't want to ever repeat ourselves. Even the idea of just re-entering another purge, we were like, well, they've seen that now. They've seen four movies with four 12-hour purges, and it's a night of lawlessness. Well, how do you one-up a night of lawlessness? Well, then there's one law to the purge, which is the purge ends.
I don't give a f***.
The Forever Purge comes out in theaters this Friday, by the way.
I watched them all. It's kind of like those Saw movies.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give this another go here.
The first purge I really liked. It was a great, you hadn't, that plot was really cool. The second one with Frank Grillo
was
really, really good.
I thought the
third one was pretty good as well. I did not see the fourth one. Hmm. What was the third one's, how did it differentiate?
He was protecting a senator.
Mm. Okay. Frank Grillo was?
Frank Grillo was.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And gotcha. That was the plot conceit.
Next clip. In No Sudden Move, John Hamm plays Joe Finney, a detective tracking down an unsuspecting group of criminals in 1950s Detroit. Here, John discusses what goes through his mind when he is choosing his roles.
It's certainly more fun to play the bad guy. You get a better haircut, that's for sure. But the truth is, I like playing all of it, and I'm very fortunate in that I've gotten the opportunity to play kind of both sides of the aisle, like comedy and drama, and good guys and bad guys, and which is an actor's great.
No Sudden Move is going to stream on HBO Max this Thursday. Nick pulled up a credit that is in pre-production. Now, this is IMDb, and sometimes they...
Yeah, they get it wrong.
...are not correct, but it says, Confess Fletch.
Oh.
And it has... Is that John's character?
Yes, sir.
Irwin M. Fletch Fletcher.
Oh.
So he would be playing Fletch?
Oh.
I am curious as to what that is all about.
So. He is comedically...
Yes, he is.
...capable.
Bridesmaids.
Chevy Chase. It's hard to extract Chevy Chase from that.
Agreed.
You know, that DNA.
Yeah, it would be really.
Yeah. It's like Ed Helms stepping in the Vacation movies. I think he did a good job.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, who knows? All right. That's it in the entertainment report. Let's take a break, shall we? And come back in just a moment on this very steamy Monday. It's going to feel like it's over 100 degrees with the humidity factor in. So just heads up as you start your day today. We'll be back in a moment with more. Stay with us.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's band is Goalkeeper.
Keeper. Your local Shots Artist of the Month. Check them out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, local shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
He doesn't stand for baloney.
No baloney out there.
By the way, were you a fan of fried baloney?
Loved fried baloney.
I
loved it.
There we go.
So I had my own technique and everything.
Yes.
So I had
fried baloney was good.
I had which was like a precursor to the George Foreman grill. It's called the Presto. It was this little grill thing.
Was your picture on the box?
I know it should have been. That's probably why I liked it so much. It was
the Presto.
Everything but an N for my name. And I would take two pieces of bologna. Now,
right.
Here's the deal. When you fry bologna, you have to cut little slits on the ends of it.
Yeah.
Or it will curl up because of its shape.
Right.
So I would fry two pieces of that, and then I would put American cheese on one, and then I would flip the other piece over.
That's nice.
And I'd make a little Sammy type thing out of that. But then I'd put it on bread and mustard. And lettuce. I would have lettuce on there,
you
too.
You can do lettuce.
And that was my standard fried bologna sandwich. You know what? I can actually smell and taste it right now while I'm talking about it. I loved it. You know what? It's time to have some fried bologna.
It's time to have
sandwiches.
Some more fried bologna.
All right. So
it's what all the athletes are eating.
Marissa asked this question on our Twitter account, which is, when's the last time you ate a bologna sandwich? Bring back bologna, #. And it occurs to me, I've never had bologna in my life.
No.
Get out of here.
Never. I've never had one bologna sandwich. I've never had fried bologna. I've never had any bologna ever.
So you do not stand for bologna?
No.
You know what? I'll stand for
he
it, I guess.
You stand for bologna.
You know what? I don't know if I can stand for it or not because I have no leg to stand on.
Tomorrow on this show, I'll make your fried bologna sandwich.
All right, yeah.
All right.
I mean, you know, nice. I'll try anything.
I need a grill. I need something I can heat it up in. But
I need a griddle. I can bring a griddle.
You got a griddle?
Thank God you're a country boy.
I got cakes on the griddle.
I will tell you this. I think the way to go is with the fried bologna because that is the best version of bologna.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so Marissa just brought it to my attention. Tomorrow's Hoagie Day. Wawa's coming in.
Oh.
Maybe they can bring...
Right. Yeah. They don't know my cutting the edge technique and all that stuff. I mean, they can bring bologna if they want to. And we can have some bologna for Nick, but he should have it in a couple of different. If he's never had it before, maybe a bologna hoagie.
It just wasn't the lunch meat of choice in my house growing up. We had, you know, we would have ham and we would have turkey and, you know, my mom would hit the deli, you know, at least once or twice a week. But I just never had bologna as one of the options.
Right.
Tony Danza and bologna. Those two things kept out of the McElwain
household. That's right. No Tony Danza.
And you know what? And I'm going to get you old school. I'm not going to the deli. I'm going to go straight to the
Bologna-terium.
No, I'm going to the cooler where they keep just the Oscar Mayer bologna.
Ah, standard.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. And I'm going to, you know, like the lunch stuff. What?
I just, you know, I prefer the actual deli counter. Like
you're going to have it my way.
And Watson. No, okay.
You're going to have it my
chef's
way.
Chef's discretion.
But listen, we can have varieties of bologna to sample,
right.
But I'm going to give you my standard Prestonelli sandwich. You want it with the mustard and the lettuce, too?
Yes.
Okay.
I trust you.
Then that's I'll go to the grocery store today.
Do you like mayonnaise?
I don't like mayo.
Okay.
Then no. We're
not on anything?
Mayo. I'm not a mayo. I mean, well, it's funny because I'll have like chicken salad or tuna salad, and that's okay. But mayo as a condiment for a sandwich, no.
Okay.
Right. What about a lubricant to,
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That apparently was only one time, and it was fat-free, and it didn't work out for him.
Fat-free mayonnaise?
Let's clarify. Not me, by the way. I was not the one.
Your buddy used mayonnaise to get off, right?
It was not me.
Yeah.
Kathy's buddy did.
Yeah.
No, Kathy uses Grape Pompom.
Nick's friend uses toothpaste.
Toothpaste, yeah. And that guy works on Capitol Hill.
And when we mentioned it on Friday or whenever it was, I got a text from his roommate, the guy that lived with him, whose mayonnaise it was. And so he said it was fat-free, and he was really upset because it didn't work like the regular mayonnaise did.
Wow.
That's a good piece of advice there. If you are going to whack it using mayonnaise, make sure it's not fat-free. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I got to believe that the toothpaste had to have been painful. My friend Will this weekend, we had our friends stay over, and he was getting ready to brush his teeth. And so you know how some of the toothpaste containers will have a cap that stays on there. It's kind of you flip open.
Yeah.
Well, as he was flipping it open, apparently it flipped, and then it flipped back, and a tiny itty-bitty piece of toothpaste flew up and landed right in his eye.
Oh, no.
And he said it was insanely painful.
I've been there. If you're brushing your teeth and it flicks up a little bit, you'll get it in your eye and it stings like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The things you learn. So let me dispense this little piece of advice, too.
Please.
In this time of being aware of the sun and using, sunblock, if you're using perspiration free or you know, the what are they called? The, when you go into the water.
Or no.
You can keep it on the sunblock that is very water resistant.
Yeah, it's waterproof, I guess.
Whatever
yeah.
the technical, whatever word they like to use. Mm-hmm. Keep it as far away from your eyes as possible because if it gets into your eyes, you really can't do anything because it's resistant to being diluted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I've had that happen many times. Oh, it just,
wash it out.
Your nose starts running like crazy. It's a nightmare.
Oh,
so keep it, like, in fact, I will put it up, like, from my cheeks down and put a much lighter sunblock on top of my head so that when I sweat, it doesn't run down into my eyes.
Yep, I believe that.
Yeah, that's how painful it is. That, so don't jacket with fat-free mayonnaise,
right.
And be careful of your water-resistant sunblock.
Yeah.
I hope this has helped.
By the way, someone wants to point out that the reason that Nick has ever never had bologna is because bologna and raisins don't go together.
Yeah,
And so
that's an observation.
Probably not true.
It would just roll off.
That's
not true. That sounds disgusting.
Bologna and raisins.
Yeah,
it actually sounds amazing.
Okay,
are you out of?
You're out of your mind.
You're out of order.
All right.
No, all right. Dude, you made a cheese board that essentially had bologna and raisins in it. You know, you had little grapes.
It also had ducks.
Okay, so there were grapes in it, and yes, there were like prosciutto and gabagool and all these things.
Yes.
Okay, whatever.
And all of a sudden, bologna and raisins sounds disgusting. All of a sudden.
Oh, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, because the new Daily Rush video is, the title is WWE Superstar Drew Gulak. And it says, Drew wanted to try Preston's edible charcuterie board, so we served him a taste from the top rope. And, of course, this is when Casey is hand-feeding it to him, and he's doing, like, the airplane. And Casey goes, all right, from the top turnbuckle, here we go. It's hilarious.
I can't get over how nice that guy was. Drew was super nice. Yeah, it was such a cool interview.
And, by the way, I made a third charcuterie, edible charcuterie board this weekend.
You're like a pro now.
For my friends. Yeah. This one was actually the worst of the three that I've made.
So you waited to make the worst one for your friend.
I did. I've got, you know, it's a little persnickety. Everything has to be just right, and I'll perfect it eventually.
Is the big risk element the actual dough itself?
Yes.
Yes. Getting it just right.
And, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Yeah. And different, I get them from grocery stores, the pre-made dough, and if it's, and this
it's
one I
be
didn't.
A good one.
This one I didn't let sit out to room temperature. I rolled it out when it was cold, and it didn't work out. I'm trying to forget
get off his back.
Marissa?
Can we talk about the other food revelation you had this weekend?
The other food. Oh, yeah. So we went out to breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Marissa brings this up is because I sent her a picture of it. We had a table pancake.
I knew you were going to say that.
And that was my son Carter's idea, because they had like a cinnamon bun pancake stack. And what is this?
It's a table pancake.
Oh. Table pancake.
So we'll be having a table pancake. Cake.
And so we ordered a pancake for the table, and we just kind of picked that.
Just one pancake?
Very good.
No.
Let me get the syrup, Captain.
It was a short stack. And it was tasty, Marissa. It's a novel idea. So
Excuse me, Garcon. Would you fry my bologna?
I think we were all having something savory, like eggs and sausage and bacon and stuff like that. So as a little dessert, Nick, it's like a little dessert, was our table pancake.
Nice.
Okay, we actually had a table steak last night. I've never had that before.
Table steak. What did you just slaughter the cow on the table?
No, so I grabbed dinner with my wife and Chuck and his wife. And we had all ordered our entrees, but Chuck was really, he knew what he wanted, and then they brought the specials out, and the one special was the Steak Denver or Denver Steak or whatever, and so he ended up ordering. He's like, if I order a steak for the table, will you guys all eat it? And sure enough, we did. We had a fifth entree that we all consumed.
Partook of.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you cut it into four pieces, or did everybody just kind of take a little slice and...
No.
Nibble off of it.
So let me ask you this.
All right, I want to see what your etiquette is.
Because Chuck was the first to dive into the steak, and he cut off a little sliver for himself, and he brought it over and put it on his plate.
Mm-hmm.
I, however, did not have enough room on my plate to do that. So what I did is I cut a sliver off of the steak, and then I ended up, and by the way, I asked for a steak knife twice, and we never got one. So I had to cut the steak with a butter knife. And so I cut a sliver off, and then I cut that up into, I don't even know, like six pieces, and I left it on the steak plate for myself because I didn't have enough room. I also didn't want to double dip with my mouth fork. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. All right.
Okay.
And my mouth fork.
So
did somebody start taking your pieces?
Chuck did.
Okay. You probably should have said something.
I probably should have said something, but yes. I wouldn't have done the same thing, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chuck Marissa? Just helps himself to whatever food you have. He's whether a, it's at your house, on your plate, in your mouth.
In the sink or trash can.
Yeah.
He will go for it. Marissa? No,
this is an issue, Casey, because it happens with me and my boyfriend all the time. We'll share dishes all the time, but sometimes I'll like cut one little piece, and then that piece is too big, so I'll cut it in half. But I'll always take the bite that I don't want first, and then save
and then he
the,
takes
like,
the
really
other
good.
One.
And then he always takes the one that I cut.
Yeah, you, all the time. I tend
you guys
to
should break up.
No.
But if
I like
you're cutting
him.
A piece, but if you're cutting a piece,
it's
and there's,
like
and there's uncut pieces. The person who cut the piece gets that piece they cut.
I understand.
Yeah, I think we all tend to, or at least I tend to, leave the best pieces last. Like, I tend to, like, when I, like, a plate of French fries or whatever, I make sure that my last fries are the best fries. So I'll eat the
that's dangerous.
It is.
Well, leaving them because you don't know what the temperature is going to be towards the end of the meal. And so, like, you are running the risk of them cooling off too much.
Yeah, I don't mind that either, though.
Yeah.
Steve, when you eat a steak. Which
I don't.
Probably, well, when you eat,
you don't eat steak?
No.
A fillet of salmon or something like that. Do you cut as you eat, or will you cut it all so that when you're ready to
salmon
go?
Salmon is so flaky, I just use my my fork.
You just use your fork?
Yeah. I'm not left with these dilemmas that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
They're the same. You know, like I don't... I cut as I'm eating.
Yeah,
I cut as I cut.
Yeah.
Why, you cut it all up?
I like have a little mommy kid? Comes in and cuts it for
me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I kind of like being able to just... go, right? So I'll just take, I will take
so
the
how,
time.
So time is always of the essence.
Time is always of the essence, but I, so I, that's what
but
I will
it all
do.
Evens out because you take the time to cut it in the beginning.
No, right? No, no. It's completely different, Preston.
But you do your work at the beginning of the meal.
I do my work at the beginning of the meal so that I don't have to work.
I got it.
For my food, you know? Like, I can just get to it.
You know what it's like, which is another one of your habits? You like putting, occasionally, you like putting the cream and the sugar in the bottom of the mug.
Not so that, occasionally, every time.
Every time. So that way you don't have to stir because stirring's a lot of work.
Oh my God, you get so tired. My shoulder.
You're so
you.
Efficient.
Yeah.
It
by
is
the way,
efficiency.
Real quick, I'm sorry to jump in. I don't see any text on the screen here. Just to let you guys know, I see some people on hold, but I see no text. So I don't know what who's on the line or what they're referring to at all. Interesting, though, with your, stealing of the food dilemma there, Casey. But I think you need
stealing.
To. I know, but misunderstanding, whatever it is. You should probably. Say, hey, I cut those up for me.
Who got to
maybe
decide?
These are not the friends for you.
Yeah.
who made the decision on how the steak was cooked?
It was a group decision, and we all decided that, yes, medium was good.
Okay.
Yeah, we were all okay with
I hope
that.
You were filming this.
It's a safe way to go. All
right. I think so.
All right. Well, anyway, I don't even know how we got started on that part.
Not table bacon.
Bologna.
Bologna.
We started with bologna. Cake.
I haven't
table
had bologna.
Pancake.
Yeah. You're right. Making me bologna tomorrow.
Kathy had pointed out that the car fire on the Schuylkill Expressway was carrying.
There we go.
Bologna.
Bologna.
He doesn't stand for bologna.
We've
for
retro
fitted the whole story okay, yeah. until that. All right. So,
all right, so burning
anyway,
bologna. Now.
What else?
Now.
There was initially what I was going to bring up was this story at the Tour de France.
Yes.
And you guys enlightened me to it. I missed it from the weekend that apparently it was
crazy.
At the start of one of the legs. I'm not sure which one.
It was the very start of the race. Like it was the.
Just underway because they were all bunched in on each other. No one had separated. I mean, it's right at the beginning.
Is this the first heat?
It was it was stage number one.
Stage one, okay.
Yeah.
So, if you missed it, a woman is standing off to the side, and she's holding a big cardboard sign. And apparently that cardboard sign essentially says, go grandma or granddad or something like that. And somebody hits it, and boom, falls down. And then, of course, if you're in the front and you fall down, when the race is that tight, everybody's going to wipe out. And like 50 people...
Grandma.
Like 50 people collapsed or were gummed up.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. And she was like leaning out in front of one of the riders, which is how it all happened.
And he caught him. Yes.
Caught him. He fell. And then it was just a chain reaction from there.
By the way, she, boom, took off. She's gone.
They're looking for her.
They don't know who she was, and they're looking for her.
They're saying she, well, they have tons of footage of her, but they're saying she could be looking at a year in prison.
Oh, my God.
It's not uncommon, though. I mean, at races, like, people are just holding up signs all over the place. It's been a constant problem where people, like, crowd into the roads way too much. And so I'm surprised this is, like, you know, as bad as it's gotten.
Yeah. And you're right. The guy who initially fell over, immediately behind him, his head gets run over.
Ugh.
And you figure that's somebody who's weighing,
Yeah.
The The bike riders are kind of, you know, they're lighter. So I would imagine at least like 180 pounds or something like that, or, mm-hmm. or somewhere in that 150, 180 pounds going on that small little bike tire right over the guy's head.
Do we know how fast they were going, Steve? Did I hear you say like 30 at this point, or was it too early?
I think it was too early. They appear to be going like around 20.
Look, I mean, it's a good...
They're not boom, crazy pumping.
Steve, they go so fast. I'm sorry, Kath.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't know when they started, but at least they had picked up some speed.
It looks gnarly.
I mean, but when they cut to an aerial shot, you just see cyclists sprawled all over the street. It was in so tight, you had nowhere to go. You just had to keep running into the person in front of you.
Yeah, like after, like a few people got by, and then after that, they couldn't even get by. So what did they do?
I don't know.
How did the race continue?
Well, there's some people that actually were injured and cannot continue.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. But I mean, like, look at this shot that we're looking at. No cyclist can get by. So did they restart the race?
I don't know.
They can't. Like, you get what you get and you don't get upset. And so there were a couple of people who you can see they just grab their bikes and they kind of like tiptoe over everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Terrible. You know what? It's interesting seeing that guy's head get run over. Casey, was it you that was showing me pictures of, or maybe I just found this online, of people's helmets after they had fallen?
Found it.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know how those helmets?
Oh my God!
Save your life on a bicycle.
What did we do? Did you have a helmet stuck under your car
one time? Yeah.
You brought it in.
Yep,
and it had filed. It had shaved it down. Like it looked like Frankenstein's helmet.
There was I was on Route 1.
Yeah.
And a vehicle in front of me, it was a motorcycle, had a helmet, an extra helmet hanging on the back.
Yeah.
They went over a bump, like something like that. The helmet popped off. It went underneath my van.
Yeah.
And as soon as it hit, it was like, thunk! As I'm driving along, that's all I heard. And I pulled over. And it was wedged in so tight I couldn't get it out.
Right.
And so I had to drive all the way home with that stuck underneath my vehicle. And it wore it all the way down. And eventually it stopped scraping. And when I got home, it was still under there.
But it was smooth. It was so filed down.
Yeah.
But it peeled off so much. But you can see why those things will save your life.
Yep, absolutely. So with this woman being at the, essentially interfering with this whole thing.
The Tour de France.
I wasn't sure if there were any stories that you guys had or anybody has of interfering with a sporting event because there are
like people on the sidelines and stuff like that.
Yeah, there are people who, you know, pick up a ball that was not fouled.
Yeah.
You know,
that's still in play and they don't know it is.
Yeah.
Or the thing that always drives me crazy, and it's part of the deal. And this is you guys as baseball fans can I'm sure back this up, but when you see somebody in the stands who catches a ball that a player could conceivably catch and robs that team of the out.
Yeah, Jeffrey Meyer in 1996 cost the Orioles the ALCS because he caught a ball that was in play, and the Yankees ended up going on to win that game. They counted it as a home run and should have been.
The dude with the Cubs?
Steve Bartman.
He had to go into hiding.
Yes. I mean, his life in Chicago was ruined.
Yeah.
And listen, well, we can talk about Steve Bartman for a long time, but it wasn't his fault that the Cubs lost the series. His play interfered, and it was a pivotal moment, but it wasn't, he wasn't on the mound that gave up the next three runs.
What happened? I don't remember.
Steve Bartman interfered with a ball that Moises Alou probably could have caught in left field, and if Moises Alou had caught that ball, the Cubs, in all likelihood, would have gone on to win that game.
So the guy you're talking about is in the stands?
Yeah, you can see him.
You know his name just because he was so infamous.
It was a huge scandal, yeah. So he's sitting there listening to the game. He has his headphones on, and Casey's right. It ruined his life in Chicago, and he became this villain in the whole town because the Cubs hadn't won a World Series in forever. This was 2003. They ended up winning the World Series in 2016 or whatever.
Well, let me ask you this. So like here at the Tour de France and you said, okay, all the bikes roll over and that's it. It doesn't matter. You pick up your bike and go. There's no reset, no nothing. When a ball travels into the in a Major League Baseball game and a ball travels into the stands or is heading there, what is the rule? I mean,
if it's going to be in play, you are not, as a fan, you are not allowed to interfere with it, right? So if I went to a Phil's game a couple of weeks ago and we sat in right field, Steve, and right in front of us is the fence. So I was lucky enough to get front row seats in right field. The fence,
The top of that fence is where the home run counts. If it goes above that fence, it's a home run. If it's a micrometer below the fence, if it bounces off of it and comes back into the field of play, it's not a home run.
So what if an outfielder is able to, and we've seen it happen, arch back and catch it over the fence?
If I were to interfere with that player, I would be ejected, and I could cost the team a run. So
at what point though do you determine that you have to protect yourself as a ball is coming over?
I would for me as a savvy fan, the moment you sit down in those seats, you have a responsibility to know what the rules are.
Yeah. Ah, it's interesting.
But I think, Steve, I think your question is, it's not like football where if it breaks the plane of the line.
Right, yeah.
A player can reach over that fence if he can get up high enough and rob him of the
I'm surprised there's not more interference in NBA games, to be honest. I mean, especially, you know, with courtside fans and, like, just being as close as they are to the action.
Yeah, when I went to the Eagles game in Buffalo a couple of years ago, I bought a single ticket in the end zone. I was front row. I was like, man, if I could catch a football on a kickoff or something like that.
Yeah,
dude, did I tell you? The guy next to me caught a kickoff.
What?
The guy right next to me. I'm watching this thing come in from like 70 yards away. I was like, I'm actually going to catch a football.
It's like the movie Remedial.
It's a lot like that. But you're not allowed to keep the football. But they will give you a replacement football. It's a legit NFL football.
Really?
It's
just they'll give you one?
Yeah, it's just not from that game. They have X amount of footballs that they use per game.
I didn't know that.
They have kickers, footballs, blah, blah, blah. So the guy came over. He goes, I need the football back. He's like, I'll come back and I'll give you another one. Sure enough, they gave him like a legit football.
I had heard years ago, and you can tell me whether this is true or not, that it, and maybe it would depend upon the stadium, but obviously not now. It doesn't take place because of what you just said, but that you could keep the ball, but you had to leave the game.
So he could have done that. He could have taken that football and darted out of the stadium. He could have done that.
So what if, like, in a hockey game, if you catch a hockey puck in your mouth?
Yes.
Can you get to keep that?
You get
season tickets.
And all your teeth.
You're allowed to keep the puck, obviously, but if a stick comes over the boards, you're supposed to return that. But one time I was at a Flyers game, a stick came over the boards, and there, you know, it was sort of a scramble for it. Nobody could find it. You know, some of the ushers came down looking for it, and then it just sort of disappeared into the crowd. And about 2 minutes later, I saw a guy walking up the steps, and it looked like he had like a hip injury, and he was like, he had shoved the stick down the right side of his pants, and he was laboring up the steps, and it looked like he on one peg leg, and he worked his way out of the venue. He worked his way out of the Wells Fargo Center with the stick in his pants.
God, I remember one time it was at University of Missouri. The football team had won a big game, and it was one of those where they tear the goalpost down, and they had somebody got it back to one of the fraternity houses.
Goalposts.
Yeah, one of the goalposts. Right. Like, no they ripped way. It down. And
oh
they,
my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I never heard what ended up happening after that, but they got it to the party.
What do you do with that after a while? You know, are you still going to hold on to this goalpost? Get rid of it.
Yep.
But as far as like messing things up in an actual game and stuff.
And what the rules are.
So I had in college, because listen, I umpired like softball, which, you know, what do you call it? Intramural softball. That's not that big of a deal. But and I also, when I was in college, I was part of the chain gang for football, which I was terrified that I was going to mess something up because this is a collegiate football game. I also was a ball boy for the soccer team, which you can colossally mess something up there. But then I was also a line judge for volleyball, like legit collegiate volleyball.
Really?
And you have to make these calls on whether or not it's in or out. And I would have these women yelling at me because they're like, that's in. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Don't yell at me.
Yeah, you know what? And that's got to be tough as an official.
Yeah.
You have to make a call. But you know, every now and then some people would have to second guess. It might have been out, but I'm saying it's not because what I saw was in. You know?
So is the safe move to right at the bat say, I'm not sure.
I don't really know.
Let's go with this one.
I'm taking my best guess here.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I didn't know that you were a line judge.
Yeah, I was. And I loved it. So I got to like hang. So our gym was under construction. So all of our home games were at Bryn Mawr College, maybe? So I would take the bus rides with the ladies volleyball team.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, you know how much ass I got from that?
Yeah.
Zero. Nailed it.
Yeah, it's like when the Swedish bikini team needed to guys to oil them up.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, they're looking for this this woman who held this sign out. Like Steve is saying, she could face some jail time.
They're saying a year.
Yeah. But this happens at those races sometimes, right? Sometimes they plow into people.
All the time. Why do they let them get so tied up on the road?
Because
I guess you can't cover every...
That's exactly
it. You're talking long. About miles and miles and miles.
Hundreds of miles per stage.
Every stage is 120, 150 miles long. So it's just, it goes through the countryside in France, so you can't regulate
just
all of it.
Kill bots patrol the area.
I mean, I'm surprised because they have these like support and chase vehicles that are on there with them.
How do they
get
to them?
They're booking along on these motorcycles and these cars and stuff. Was it last year or two? No, it had to have been 2 years ago where the dude did to jump over the racers, the riders, as they were going through. They were going through this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so this dude built a ramp. And so when they were going through this hillside, as the Peloton was coming through this particular area, this dude went downhill and then literally ramped over all of the riders.
On a bike?
On a bicycle.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, Peloton?
Yeah, it's, I guess, what they call the group of riders.
Yeah, that's where they got the name.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I always thought that was just a company name.
Nope. Yeah, how about that?
I did not know that. You learn stuff. Mm-hmm.
Fried bologna, Peloton.
So a Peloton is the group of the pack.
The massive group, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the leader group.
Son of a bitch, I've been living a lie for the last 5 years.
You know what I don't like, though? Is that they refer, it's like the Borg. Come on, Peloton. And the people who are the trainers. Come on, Peloton. I know they can't manage to say by name who you are, but it seems a little Borgy, doesn't it?
It does.
Resistance is futile.
We're looking at video of this guy doing the ramp jump over the Peloton. And that's insane, dude.
Man, you said Peloton. It was so good.
It just rolled off the tongue there.
Now you know it. You've made the word your own. That word is your bitch.
Thank you. All right. Anyhow, it's interesting. If you have not seen the video yet, you can... Oh, wait a minute. Hang on a second.
Oh, no.
Is this... all right. I want to go to the singer. Here's somebody messing this up. Let me go to Kenny. Hey, Kenny.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
So we're having a league game for billiards at it was Showboat Casino back when that was still its thing. And, I mean, it's down to just a few balls left on the table. A drunk woman comes by, picks up a billiard ball.
Picks up the boy.
And we're screaming at her. She's like, I just wanted to look at it. I don't know what the problem is.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, security grabs her. They kick her out. And then we had a judge come over and he's... All right, well, this is for prizes. This is for money. This is the main prize is to go to Vegas. Like, we're in the finals. So what they decided to do was all the points stayed the same, and we're just re-racking, and we're going from there. So, that was the best decision we could come up with. And both teams agreed to it, and we went, all right, that's what we do.
Did you end up winning?
No.
So it worked out,
bitch. Yeah. Were you in that particular game? Were you guys ahead?
We were only two balls behind, but I mean, you know, who knows what would have happened?
Yeah,
I mean, because of how everything was set up on the board, and I can't even remember where everything was set up. But you know, we had shots. We had shots planned out. But,
well, that's like when people sit down and you hear about it all the time at the casinos in general. If they sit down and you know. Screw up the flow of the table.
Yeah.
So, like, real neophytes do that all the time.
You see people spill their drinks on the table.
People get so pissed. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Yeah.
All right.
Same deal.
Thanks, Kenny.
I hope that woman's in hell.
I hope that woman is in hell right now. Wow. All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we got some hellish stories from the Bizarre File to share with you. So, that will be next. Make sure you stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's take a dive. Now,
WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. Love this story. Pennsylvania police claimed they were called to a Home Depot on report of disorderly people having an exorcism in the lumber aisle.
They're having an exorcism at the Home Depot?
They were doing that, Steve.
I probably would have gone to a church.
Well, the exorcism was for the dead trees in the lumber aisle.
And they were possessed?
They would be wood exorcists were escorted out of the building. The incident
were they vomiting wood chips?
Was described in only 27 words, part of a long list of the small town department's daily log of calls. But the post has drawn attention to it, to its bizarre quality, and had been shared more than 1,000 times as of yesterday. The so-called exorcism had commenters on the PD's page confused. One suggested maybe it should have said having an exercise, but Pennsylvania police claimed that they were called on the report of an exorcism. And in fact, one person posted, I love That's this, great. It says, how does a wood exorcism happen in Home Depot in 2021 and not a single person there videoed this for our entertainment?
Yeah.
I need answers. The two who were taking part in the exorcism were asked to leave and neither was charged.
Well, it's off to Lowe's.
Yeah. A crowd of people gathered in downtown Springfield, Missouri to attend the Birds Aren't Real rally.
They aren't? Kathy, this is the greatest news you could possibly hear.
Yeah, these stupid things are real. We know it.
So, according to Peter McIndoe, with the Birds Aren't Real movement,
okay,
all birds in the United States were killed by the government. Wow. And were replaced by federal drones.
So the birds that we see outside on any given day are federal drones.
They're not real.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right, so he said, what makes me think that? I think the evidence is all around us. Birds sit on power lines. We believe they're charging on the power lines.
He's right.
We believe that bird poop
on
cars is a liquid tracking apparatus, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's all coming together now.
The movement, which has been fueled by online chatter as well as mysterious flyers posted in cities across the U.S., is currently on tour, and Springfield, Missouri was the first stop.
Well, this raises the question of squirrels, because they run along power lines as well.
Birds Aren't Real relies on internet-fueled guerrilla marketing to spread a silly message. Followers are poking fun at conspiracy theories like QAnon that have gone mainstream over the last few years. McIndoe is the creative muscle behind the avian-inspired conspiracy, according to the National Audubon Society.
I like the idea.
His first live with Birds Aren't Real was in January. He first went live with Birds Aren't Real in January 2017 at the Memphis Women's March. Since then, the movement has gained a large fan base with over 360,000 Reddit subscribers.
I know you'd be on board, Kathy.
Whether they believe it or not, I'm not really sure. My son was telling me about this. He said some of it is satire and tongue-in-cheek, but there are actually some people that believe it. A woman in New Zealand is breathing a lot easier following the removal of a small plastic disc used in the game Tiddlywinks, which had been lodged in her nose for nearly 40 years.
4 years.
Yes.
Those are decent-sized pieces.
Mary McCarthy always wondered why she would frequently have a pain in the right side of her nose, but managed to put it into the back of her mind as she went about her life.
I just can't figure that out.
However, after she had a nasal swab test for coronavirus last October, things got more uncomfortable. The 45-year-old from New Zealand said that her nose would be constantly leaking. She said it was just a lot of pain. The doctors she asked for help told her that it was probably due to a chronic sinus condition. She told staff that she had quite a lot going on in her life, so she had pushed it into the background.
Of course.
But it started to become unbearable, and she was forced to go to the emergency department at Christchurch Hospital, where luckily, she said, the nurse and doctor believed that it was more than sinus pain. They asked me if I had ever put anything up my nose. She said a question which spurred her to cast her mind back to her childhood. She recalled how at the age of eight, like many children, she loved to play the game Tiddlywinks. She remembered how while playing with her siblings, they improvised the game a little bit by putting one piece up each nostril and then blowing them out.
Uh-huh.
She said, one time I actually inhaled, and one of them went in instead of blowing it out. And she said, I remembered being terrified at the time, thinking where it has gone. She soon forgot about the incident, although she said she always had problems breathing through her nose, but never gave it much thought.
She couldn't put two and two together?
Well, she was only 8 years old at the time, and it just kind of came and went in her mind. So medical staff discovered the reason why, after a CT scan revealed an object in her upper nose, too big to remove while conscious, the object was taken out during an operation where it was actually pushed through her nose and out her mouth. It turned
out going into the ass.
The COVID test had COVID test had shifted the disc and caused an infection.
Ah.
She said, when I woke, I said, what was it? And they said that it was the laugh of the hospital, a tiddlywink, and it hadn't even lost its color. There was apparently calcification around it. That was probably, she said, why my nose had grown a bit crooked.
By the way, aren't they supposed to keep that stuff private? Do they get on the PA system? You'll never guess.
Yeah, I know,
we
right?
just found a tiddlywink up this chick's nose.
It was the laugh of the hospital, she
guess
said.
Guess what I found it? Up this guy's ass. You're not going to believe it. A full bottle of soda. 1 liter. How did he get it up there?
Attention, staff. Attention.
How? Oh, oh, my God. I got a winner today, guys. Barbecue tongs in his penis. Oh, my God. You got to see this. OR7.
They don't have HIPAA laws.
Yeah, apparently. They became the laugh of the hospital.
You know. I guess it's just, listen, if you're sick, you got to deal with it, right? I mean, that's the way it goes in New Zealand. That's how they roll.
Yeah.
All right, one last story. A Zambian TV presenter interrupted a live broadcast earlier last week to claim that he and his colleagues hadn't been paid their wages by the news station. He had said, live on the air, away from the news, ladies and gentlemen, we are human beings. We have to get paid. His name is Kabinda Kilamina.
This just in, local news station fails to pay their employees.
Mr. Kilamina had started the show normally to give the roundup of the top stories of the day when he suddenly made the complaint to viewers in the middle of the live bulletin. He said, unfortunately, on KBN, we haven't been paid. Sharon and everyone else hasn't been paid, including myself, and we have to get paid. Soon after Mr. Kilamina made a statement, the live feed from the studio was cut to the opening montage of the news channel.
Wow.
The CEO, Kennedy Mambawe, said, criticized the actions of the anchor on Facebook, calling it drunken behavior and a one-night stunt of fame, and said that they strongly condemn the conduct of the presenter. Now, Mr. Kilamina, who in a Facebook post mocked the channel's claims of being drunk, also remained defiant and unapologetic about his action. He said, yes, I did that on live TV. Just because most journalists are scared to speak out doesn't mean journalists shouldn't speak out.
They became the story.
And many took to social media, slamming the network for not paying wages to its employees.
I'm Tom Brokaw. So next week, sorry, there's no toilet paper in the second floor bathroom. No toilet paper.
That's perfect.
I had to use regular paper towel, and my butt is paying for it.
Oh.
Paper cuts all up and down the area above and below my rectum.
That stuff is much more coarse.
It hurts.
Than regular toilet paper.
Exactly. Yeah. We go now to Jimmy Gluszewski, who's with my proctologist.
All right. Well, sometimes I got to complain. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. By the way, if you missed it last week on our show, we gave you a new save the date for the Camp Out for Hunger. It's going to be a new time this year.
Yes.
And it will be the beginning of November, November 1st to the 5th. And I'll get you some more of the details when we come back, but just a heads up for your calendar. We'll return in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Good morning, it. This is Mike from the Burgers by Wildwitch food truck on Concord Pike in Delaware. Come by, try our amazing smash burgers, crispy fries, and scratch-made strawberry lemonade. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram to see where the truck will pop up every weekend. And while I've got you, we're looking for one great person to complete our team. Want to be a general manager in 2 years? Pick up an application today. See you soon at Burgers by Wild Witch.
Next message.
Hi, this is Brendan with Trinity Subsurface Engineering in Wilmington, Delaware. We provide utility locating services, vacuum excavation, and more throughout the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic region. We are currently looking for quality candidates with or without experience to join our utility locating team. Find us at trinitysubsurface.com or call us at 855-3-TRINITY and let them know you heard us on MMR. That's 855-387-4648.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
I got extra, got up extra early to get into work this morning. And, you know, when you have to make some concessions and maybe do something you don't want to do to get yourself ready for the workday, it might be important to have a list of things to do in the morning to be happier at work. And I found a list of six things to do in the morning to be happier.
Now, Kathy Lee, I understand you have a list of how to get to work in a happier mood.
That's right. Correct. This is from Monica Torres.
Monica Torres, yes. The great Monica Torres. She really knows happiness.
Well, she's a writer, but she does. She did interview a few experts. So, are you interested in ways to?
Yes.
So these are going to be obvious, I assume, right?
Well, let's see.
Let's see. This will redefine happiness lists as we know it.
Six things to do in the morning to be happier at work.
I think everyone can benefit from this.
Number one. Drink a glass of water first thing after you wake up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, drink a
glass of water.
I love that. I love water.
Water's so good.
I've heard.
Why, I have a bottle of it right here.
What? No.
They put that
in
a bottle?
Look at that, folks.
Wow.
I've heard that a glass of water in the morning can be just as effective in helping you to wake up as
coffee.
Coffee.
Nick, my mom has been telling me that for years.
Now, I don't trust your mom.
Right.
But I do.
And tomatoes keep anal cancer away.
Yeah.
I sip water all night long. I get wickedly dry mouth when I sleep, and I'm constantly rolling over and having to. Six, seven times a night, I have to get over and get a sip of water all night long.
I sleep with my mouth pressed against the fan, so it dries out. No, I agree. I always have water right next to me. I actually had a point in my life where I was drinking. Well, when they passed out on the show here, they took me over to Lankenau, and the doctor said, "You're drinking too much water."
Right.
I love it. Yes, Preston, same thing. I can't stand that parched in the mouth feeling. It's horrible.
I always drink a bottle of water before my coffee, though. I feel like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I just feel like gross.
To quench the thirst more?
No, I just feel gross if coffee is the first thing that goes into my body in the morning.
That's the first thing. That's what I drink on my way into work. I drink a 20-ounce.
You make it the night before. You set it up the night before, right?
I set my timer the night before, and it's ready to go. All I have to do is pour it in a cup and go.
Fry the bologna, and then you're out the door.
That's it.
Yeah.
I used to, and I have, about 6 months ago, I quit having coffee in the morning. And or on the way to work. I would normally, it's first thing I do. After I get dressed and ready to go, before I'd head out the door, I'd make a cup of coffee and head out with it. And I've stopped doing that, and I've realized I don't really need it. I did it because, you know, I would load it up with cream and sugar and stuff like that. And I wanted to lose some weight, so I'm like, all right, I'll cut those calories out. And then I realized, you know what? I'm doing fine without the coffee, without the wake me up thing.
You'll have a cup.
I have one here.
When the show's here.
Yep.
So it's the same thing. I drink, I'm limited. Water is my main drink. And the funny thing was, years ago, the notion of drinking just straight up regular water was boring. Can't do it.
No, it's a black cup of coffee for me on the way in. I need it to wake up. I realized a while back that I idle on Grumpy. So I need that to, get me in a better mood.
Well, I was just going to say, this list is, it can make you happier?
The list can make you happier.
According to this clinical psychologist, Ajoa Asay.
Right, who works for Poland Springs.
She said that hydration is a practical tip for helping your body feel good throughout the day. Asay said she noticed that not drinking water in the morning would negatively impact her body later. She said, I often wake up, I'm rushing, I'm walking my dog.
I don't feel so good.
Then I'm dehydrated and I have a headache for the rest of the day. That's why she made a point to drink water in the mornings and recommends it to clients.
Let me tell you something. For anything like you go in for any sort of procedure or whatever, or any type of thing, an intake of water, staying hydrated can help you your health so much, and it's such an easy thing to do. And even if you don't like drinking water, do it, because it's something that has so many benefits to it.
Well, Casey, I was going to say, since you drink coffee on the way in, maybe for the rest of the week, can you drink a glass of water before you have your coffee and see if you feel any different?
Okay. Yeah.
So set the Mr. Water before you go to bed.
Yeah. Mr. Water.
Yeah. What's the very, very first thing you do when you get out of bed?
Turn my alarm off.
Pay the hooker.
No. After you've turned your alarm off, like, what's your first act?
Pee.
Brush my teeth.
Okay.
You don't go to the bathroom first? You just pee right there, Kathy?
I pee in the bed.
No, I'm sorry. Step one is turn the shower on.
Okay.
I turn the shower on, turn the TV on, and then I start brushing my teeth. And by the time I'm done brushing my teeth, the water is warmed up. So that's it. That's right. My system.
I make the bed first. That's my first thing.
That's crazy.
I know. And then I go into the to the bathroom. And I do
Steve
my business.
Sleeps on top of everything, remember?
Oh, that's
very
right,
easy.
That's
it's
right,
a
that's
little very easy. If I had to iron the sheets and stuff like that, it'd be a nightmare. No, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I keep everything spick and span, and then I go into the bathroom, and I go to the bathroom, and then I will set up, I start the regimen.
You asked the question, what's the first thing you do?
After I put my watch on, that's the very first thing that I do.
Right.
I put my watch on.
And cufflinks.
Then I pee, then I brush my teeth. But as I'm brushing my teeth, I stand on the scale. See what kind of damage I did yesterday.
I'm sure you put the scale right at the base of the bathroom, at the toilet?
No, the scale is right by the bathtub.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you brush your teeth and weigh yourself at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a multitasker.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Pee first for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then poop? The other stuff. Not usually in the morning.
It'd take a good 8 minutes to empty your bladder after all night long.
Well,
Nick has the largest bladder in the world.
It is. It's a sit down in the morning, and that's where you wake up.
What's your defecation schedule like? Are you regular?
I have regular BMs.
Could you take pictures?
It's normally afternoon. I like going home.
Astonishingly regular. Regular time and everything.
You know what I've been trying to do lately is not bring my phone with me into the bathroom when I first wake up in the morning.
Right.
Because I'm on my phone so much anyway. I figure, like, just get off it at least at the very beginning of the day to not be on it.
You told me you bring your rock polishing kit in.
Well, yeah. So I got to have a hobby.
You're pointing at me because my finger's up and I have to say something. And
Kathy forgot what she was going to say.
I was going to say because I was thinking of
a rock polishing kit in the bedroom.
There's a lot of pee and poop conversation.
Good. Okay, did it have to do with the bathroom? It was something about going pooping, right?
She went to talk about when she poops.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's just another, I don't know, you could call it Kathyism or something. Casey, do you walk away from the sink when you brush your teeth to stand on the scale?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I know. So
she's got to be over the sink.
Everyone
in case
should
any
be over the
residual
sink.
I stand right by the sink, over the sink.
You know what I started?
Because I, by the way, Case, just to jump in, I have a toothbrush that is also a water pick at the same time.
Ooh.
So if you're not hunched over the sink, you're going to, it's like a fire hose.
Only takes a few minutes. You can stay there.
I started to, and I never did this before, and I apologize, but I always brush my teeth with the water running, and now I've turned the water off while I brush my teeth, which is really...
Save the water,
I know, but it just doesn't feel right to me.
When you lasso anal warts, are you right over the toilet?
Always. Wow. All right. Always. Every single time.
Lasso?
Oh, yeah. It's the colonoscopy thing. That's what they do.
Okay.
That's how they remove.
All right.
I just do it at home. It's for fun.
I got six of these to go through.
Oh, right. You're just in one?
By the way, so Kathy, what I'll do now with the brushing teeth at the Shore House, you can walk outside onto a little
as the sun's rising
balcony,
you go
and
outside?
I go out there and brush my teeth.
Oh, man.
It's awesome.
I mean, well, whatever. You're at the shore. That, I feel like rules
different.
Are not. Yeah, they're different rules.
Everyone brushes their teeth outside.
All right. Here's another thing that is recommended to be happier in the morning. So you can do in the morning to be happier at work later in the day. Number two says, reclaim your time and choose an activity that you like to do before you work.
No.
It's impossible.
All right, this does not work for us. Yes, I love when people say to me, you know, they know that I exercise a lot. Do you exercise before work? What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
I tried that one time because Planet Fitness, I used to belong to that, and they're a 24-hour gym. I was like, I'm going to go.
Right.
And they had this cool little circuit training thing where you can get a full workout in half hour.
Right.
I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And I did that one time. I'm like, this sucks. Especially when it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'm just
dying
right now.
All right. According to Melody Wilding, an executive coach and author of Trust Yourself, Stop Overthinking, and Channel Your Emotions for Success at Work.
That's a long title.
She recommends starting the day with an activity that's meaningful and centers you, like yoga, meditation, journaling, or taking a class.
No.
All right. There's a guy that we work with. His name's Joe Zerzolo, and he's like a he's very, very physically fit, and he does like triathlons and stuff like that. And he lives on a lake. He will do a mile. What?
Who?
Joe Zerzolo. You know him, thin, salt and pepper hair, kind of works.
There's a little. They call him the Z-Man.
The Z-Man! His, his cube
at
is...
At this building
Yes,
works?
His cube is right in front of, like, Eric and Todd's office.
What's
and
he do?
Jamie, he's a salesperson. He sells for the Fanatic. Huh. But anyway, he'll go and swim a mile before he goes into work in the morning.
Right.
Like,
well, yeah, if you can go to work.
Sales.
Yeah, a little bit late, 9 or whatever time they come in. Mm-hmm. I could. That's
if you come in around 11:30. No, you can get that stuff in.
That's feasible. Like you can actually get up before work.
Yeah,
and work out.
I used to do it. I used to do it all the time when I had a more when I was working at a radio station, doing more 9 to 5. But yeah, no, he's a very nice guy. We do. I call him the Z Man or the Z-ster.
I'm like Z Pack. What's up, Z Pack?
So yes, you can do things like that. She said you feel more in control.
You feel more in control.
When you start your day with something of your choosing.
Wake up and you find something, whether you scrapbook or journal, you feel more in control.
All right, what else?
Keep in mind that what's a nourishing activity for others may not work for you.
Perhaps bury bodies.
What?
Things that you might have left undone from the night before. Invite children into your home.
By the way, speaking of meditation, they recommend. Yeah. I do know somebody who meditates before work every morning.
A mantra type of thing is good.
Yes,
like a TM standard stuff, Preston.
No, I think it's mindful meditation is what they're doing now, rather than transcendental. But in fact, speaking of mindful meditation, Casey said, "Is this on Netflix?"
It's on Netflix. So there are three different things on Netflix that are under the Headspace umbrella. Okay?
Right. Headspace is an app. It's a service for mindful meditation.
Yes.
It guides you.
You've used it.
Yeah, I did for a little while.
So I just found out.
I realize I suck at it.
Well, I found out about this thing yesterday. So when I went to bed last night, I used it because. So of the three, there's one that it's Headspace and it says interactive. So that's the one that you want to choose. And they have. Three choices. As a matter of fact, if you play this sound clip, press this will kind of let you know what they offer.
Okay. Didn't know this. So if meditation is something you want to take out for a spin, you can do it through Netflix. Here we go.
Hi, it's Andy from Headspace. Great to see you again. Let's try another exercise as you build a healthy mindfulness routine.
So Andy was my guide, too, when I used Headspace. It was funny because he has such a thick Australian accent. He's like, yeah, you can sit in a chair. What's a chair?
Yeah.
Oh, a chair. Okay. You sit in a chair, relax.
Eve will help you get started.
Thanks, Andy. So what would you like to do? Meditate to feel less stressed? Try some different ways to relax and unwind your mind? Or sleep soundly so you can wake up feeling more refreshed?
Oh. So I did that.
You did the sleep soundly thing?
I did the sleep soundly thing.
All right, Casey, let's work with you. Let's say you have a waffle, and in every square there's a little bit of butter. Don't you feel good now?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I fell right asleep with that one.
You've just been elected president of the Running Away Club. Aren't you a good little boy?
Come here.
Pretend I'm a deer and you're feeding me pretzels. We've just bonded.
All right, so this is step two here?
Yeah, so once you choose which... thing you want to do, whether you want to meditate or relax. I chose I want to go to sleep. And so this is, you know.
Is your butt plug in firmly?
For people that I'm the type of person that needs to fall asleep with something on the television. However, I don't want something on the television that is going to distract me and make me turn over so I can see what's on the screen.
Yeah.
So usually,
you want something
you can hear that doesn't distract you.
Yes.
Something that's not entertaining. Then.
Right.
Well, or something that is so familiar
like
to me.
Like a quiet place.
Like a quiet place. No, something like a movie that I've seen a million times.
Right.
Something that I'm going, I wonder what that looks like.
Like Endgame.
Yeah, so this... Endgame is exactly
it. I know. You watch it a lot.
So I chose the sleep one. And all it is it's basically like meditation as you go to sleep. But then there are three or four different types of...
I assume you set the timer on the TV to shut off, correct?
Well, I can do that now because I have a Netflix TV.
There you go.
Whenever, if something's been not playing for a half hour, just
shuts off.
Yes. So here are the options that you can choose inside this menu.
Okay. Let's help put your mind to bed with a story.
Put 45 minutes aside for a relaxing journey to one of these places as you drift off. Don't worry, we'll be quiet after you fall asleep. Which one of these sound nicest to you? Gentle waves as night falls in a secluded seaside town.
I like that one.
A crackling fire while you're cozied up indoors on a rainy evening.
It's good too.
Or a quiet nighttime train ride through the mountains.
Train rides are very soothing.
Yes.
Or perhaps a stop into a peaceful aquarium close.
A union ride in a sheet metal factory.
They all sound pretty great, don't they?
Don't they?
Okay.
I did the seaside town last night.
Okay.
How about the soothing sounds of the Tet Offensive?
The Tet Offensive?
Vietnam.
Yeah.
And it worked for you, Case?
Yeah. Like a baby, I was out.
No kidding. My wife is doing the guided meditations, and she does it every day and loves it. There's a progression that she's going through. I actually have Dr. Rosenpenis had done a meditation for me that I use all the time.
It takes practice.
Yeah, it does. Let me ask you guys.
20 minutes is the max. I can't go any longer. I'm like Preston. I'm like you. I know immediately if it's not going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, knowing immediately that it's not going to work, maybe you need to find a different way to revisit it. Because, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if you get into the... It's like working out. If you get into the habit of doing it...
I do.
Okay. But you can find ways to make it work for you. And so it really takes effort and time and repetition.
Right. So let me ask you guys this. When you do try to meditate, will you... Because this happens to me from time to time where I will find, like, a sensation on my body that I cannot just... It might be an itch or, you know, something that I need to, like, take care of. And when I started last night... I felt like there was something in my eye, and my eyes were closed. I was like, oh, my God.
So you become very aware of your body?
Yes, and I'm trying to...
Well, try to ignore that huge hog between your legs.
No, but that's... that you're supposed to be aware of those things.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, that's part of the mindful meditation, is being aware of the sensations and everything around you.
Right.
It's not... So that's what I can't believe we're going into detail about this. Initially, I thought it was supposed to... You're supposed to tune out everything.
No.
And center... No, you're inviting sounds and experiences and scents and all this from elsewhere and just being aware of all these things.
You're part of the world.
Yeah, so.
What I will do is, the issue for me is closing the door so I'm not immediately set upon by 50 cats and darken the room a little bit. And about in 20, 25 minutes, it just recenters you.
Right.
All right, well, so, let's get to this part.
Let's go.
What is this?
Is
this going on the seaside town journey?
No, we went to the aquarium.
Okay, let's go to the aquarium.
Let's go. Fishies.
Fishies, okay.
Yeah. Good evening, and welcome to the Moonlight Aquarium. A carved wooden bench at the center of the room.
They lose their accent at the aquarium.
Right, they lose it.
Invites you to sit and bask in the neon blue glow of the surrounding aquarium walls.
Over there.
Do you like that bubble sound, Chris?
I do. Yeah.
Despite the late hour, none of the aquarium's inhabitants seem interested in resting.
In fact, they're all dead.
A school of minnows darts back and forth between strands of swaying kelp. Groups of jellyfish bob and glide among branches of coral.
All right, and you're supposed to be... Envisioning this,
yes.
Envisioning this.
You are asleep. A hippopotamus
eats a big head of bok choy. Right? That happens at the aquarium.
Yes, it does.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. And then while underwater, they seem to glide along the floor of the aquarium. Mm. One takes a huge dump. Bigger than you've ever seen. A huge cloud of fecal matter. Starts to become like an underwater cloud. Looks like a unicorn.
So you can meditate before work.
Like
to feel better.
Imagine you get into work, you're all trippy.
Yeah.
I need to, I'm like you, I'm a real creature of habit. I've got to focus. I mean, I've got to keep that thing. You get thrown off by 10, 15 minutes, it Fs you up. So meditation would be tough. I meditate in the afternoon.
Here's another thing that you can do in the morning to be happier at work. And Kath, you do traffic here, so it's...
Do you do traffic at home, too?
Relate to this. It says, put the stress of setbacks, like traffic delays, in perspective.
Good thing to do.
Some mornings are less than ideal, it says.
Steve helped me reset this morning because I wasn't able to get on 76 East because of the truck fire with all the baloney. And and so I had to take 23 and go through Conchie and whatever. And Steve said something to me because the first thing I said to him, and I wasn't even in a bad mood or whatever, but I was like, oh, yeah, no, I couldn't get on 76, couldn't drive into work like I normally do. And Steve said, or something to the effect of, your day's better than the guy that had the truck fire.
Right.
And it's true. Like if you get in a car accident, you're having a worse day than the person caused, you know, that's sitting in the traffic because of that car accident.
It's the sucks to be you mantra.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
doesn't it sucks to be you?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the aquarium, you're broken. You're so lonely, you couldn't get anyone to go with you. I mean, what are you doing? You're standing there looking at a jellyfish. Jesus Christ. Don't you know a girl? I mean, come on. You're sleeping in your bed at night all alone. You see, you got your race car sheets on the bed. It's pathetic.
Puts it into perspective.
And you got that Hummel figure that your grandmother gave you of the little German child with his arms outstretched. I love you. It doesn't love you.
All right, so you're supposed to keep these setbacks in perspective, it says. When you start to feel overwhelmed by the setbacks life inevitably throws your way in the morning,
back to the aquarium,
take a moment to breathe. Wilding said that 1 to 2 minutes of controlled breathing can reset your nervous system and help you regain some feeling of calm and composure.
That is a fact.
There is something to say about taking a deep breath for relaxing. Like, even if you happen to be, because I've used this before when I'm about to fall asleep and sometimes tense thoughts happen in my mind.
Right.
And I feel my body physically tensing up, fist clenched or back's tight or whatever. If you take a deep breath and exhale, those muscles relax automatically. Your body does.
It gets that reaction.
Take a breath.
A good sigh.
Yeah.
Take a breath.
Take a breath.
I don't know.
Smell a small time problem. Take a breath.
I don't know.
Sesame Street, right?
Yeah.
Take a breath. Right now, take a deep breath.
And you have two. Guys,
do you like that voice?
It's
one of the few voices
relaxing.
I could do.
Yes.
Just relax.
We have that audio. We have to have that song, right?
We do.
Yeah. See if you can find it, Case.
Okay.
I think it's spelled B-W-E-F.
I'll look under Sesame Street. I had this idea. I feel like, Press, especially you, because you have such a resonant voice, that like you could probably do like a guided meditation, and I would love to offer that in our podcast to do a guided meditation.
I could do that.
Yeah.
There is a woman who runs her commercials on social media, on TikTok, and she's got... It's a resonant sexy voice, but she applies it to guided meditation. And if you spend more than 2 seconds with it, you're like, yeah.
Did anybody else see the Joe Biden ASMR over the weekend?
You sent it to me and I haven't watched it yet.
It's so, because he's been whispering in some of his press conferences lately. Yeah. And so they just applied it to like regular ASMR stuff. And he's, I got the deal done.
Take a breath.
They could do that. You know, Steven Seagal could do that.
That's true, yeah.
In most of his movies.
That's what I'm talking about. Just imagine you're at the aquarium. Take a breath. Take a breath. Smell it, smell. Sniff it, sniff. Take a breath. You can move your feet to walk, and you use your tongue to talk, but your mouth and nose are waiting. Take a breath.
Just take a breath. Take a deep breath. Relax. All right, something else here.
All right.
So you're supposed to have some perspective.
Yeah.
If you get into a tense moment,
that's a good idea.
These are ways to help you out in the morning.
A lot of people don't know how to do these simple things, but it can help.
You know what really works is when your spouse tells you to relax.
Oh, yes.
I think that works every
single
time.
You relax.
Time.
We need to talk.
I feel so relaxed now. Yeah.
Can I talk to you later? Why not now?
No,
I don't want to talk now.
I can feel the stress going away.
We need to talk. All right, now here's another one. Create boundaries between you and the morning habits that drain you. What morning habits do you have that drain you?
Pleasuring yourself.
I'm
tapped out.
I just mentioned one. Literally leaving the phone, not in the room where, you know, if I'm going to go to the bathroom in the morning, like putting the phone aside.
Okay.
Just like taking, even if it's only 5 minutes. No, even if it's only 5 minutes, just getting off the phone.
Yeah, it says here, phone scrolling first thing in the morning.
There you go.
Checking work emails. Well, I have to, once I get to work, I have to check emails, but I don't do that at home. I don't have time to do it at home.
That was, okay, Henke. He would do that. So Sam Henke from the Sixers, he didn't touch work emails or anything along those lines for like the first, I don't even know, it might have been like hour, 2 hours of his day. He's like, I'm not doing that.
Good.
I don't have time for any of this in the morning.
Either,
second of time to get ready and get out the door. I don't look at my, Nick, you're lucky I saw your, you're lucky, I'm lucky that I saw your text this morning because I don't ever look at my phone until I get to work. I rarely look at my phone, and I heard it I heard my phone vibrate on the counter, and I'm like, that's weird. Who's texting me this early?
It was about 76
and it was,
being closed.
He was telling me that 76 was closed.
For us, morning pretty much doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, like at work, you know, immediately you're in work mode. I mean, and we have to get up ridiculously early. We don't, you know, even people who have like a, you know, like a 7 a.m. start, you can still get up and the sun is coming up and you're heading up. We're kind of a different animal. Sure. And there are plenty of, you know, third shift workers and stuff like that.
We're your brothers and sisters. Yeah. We know what you go through.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So anyhow, it says, if grabbing your phone or turning on the news are things that that start your day in a way that you would not like, how to create some time to separate that. If you do want to watch the news in the morning, it doesn't have to be the first thing that you turn on. So they're saying just take a pause. Take a breath before you...
Take a breath.
Okay.
It'll be there when you're ready for it.
Yes.
You know, the email will be waiting for you.
All right. Here's another thing to do in the morning to get you better ready for a better day. Check in with your body if you're waking up tense.
Ooh, you're a little hard down there, buddy.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. What did she say?
Ooh. A little tense there, buddy.
Boner alert.
Just checking in.
What's that right there?
Boner alert.
Right, Kath?
Yeah.
Right.
She's on board on that one.
All right, so it says if you wake up wound up, take a moment to take care of your body and help it relax.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying.
Rub one out before
Let me give you a little hand there, buddy.
Yeah.
That's back to bed, actually.
It says, do you feel tension in your shoulders? Are you clenching your jaw?
Yeah.
Quick question. Does your body feel tight?
Statistically in your life, and I bet you I can guess the answer, but if you've pleasured yourself evening or morning?
Evening
is the time, because that to me is a de-stressor.
Agreed. Yeah.
Morning. Maybe like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, when I get here to the office, I'll pleasure myself, but I don't have time.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. You're the first one here.
Is that why you get here so early?
Yeah, I'm so early so I can get naked and sit in Kathy's seat and pleasure myself.
Boner alert.
How many times in your life do you think you've done that?
At work?
No.
Oh, pleasured?
Period.
Oh, my God.
How many times? Thousands of times.
Okay. I can.
Casey's doing the math right now.
He's going to
get his calculator.
So 46.
I'm wondering.
Do you ever have a time where you've gone through a period where you say to yourself, I need to ratchet back a little bit.
I don't like me anymore.
Yeah, I don't
turn me on anymore.
I feel filthy.
I'm thinking somewhere close to 10,000 times.
Yeah. If you think about it,
were you going to say, Kathy?
I hate this conversation.
I thought you were going to give a number.
No, I'm not going to give a number.
That's all you were going to say is I hate this conversation?
I don't know. I had something else to say. And then Casey said 10,000. I got grossed out.
Nick, can you just do a quick check on average?
On how many times, Casey?
It's
got to be over 10,000. Like, I've done the math on how many times that we...
Per year?
Because of the hour that we get up, how many times we've seen the sunrise.
Right.
Because some people are lucky if they see a sunrise every now and then. We've seen it. And I think it's like in the 8,000 times range. And that's with weekends off and vacations added. Right. I kind of did a ballpark estimate. So I got to believe that the pleasuring yourself would go beyond that, because that's just over a...
You don't have to get up for that.
That's a 25-year career.
You don't have to get up early.
I had many years before that where I was...
Right.
Did you, Casey, did you just multiply 365 times 30?
Times 31.
Okay, yeah.
And then I was like, there's no way I did it every single day for the last 31 years.
But some days you up the game.
Sometimes I did it more than once.
Wrist injuries, things like that.
Sure.
Carpal tunnel.
Wait, getting back to this list real quick. The actual list and not the...
Boner list.
I got you.
Boner list.
Boner alert.
The clenching of the jaw thing. My girlfriend has to deal with that, and it gives her headaches. So she actively has to try to be mindful of not doing it in the night. Like she's done grinding teeth. The mouth guard.
That can
thing.
Be a very big issue.
Yeah, and so,
that
she'll
can
wake
be,
up.
That, you can be tired.
It's weird because it's not. It ends up like being in her shoulders, in her back.
Oh my
starting with the
headaches.
Jaw. Yeah, and so it's this thing where like. I think it's literally called TMJ or whatever.
Do you know that, Nick, there was a time during Burt Reynolds' life, and I think all medical stories in some way relate to Burt Reynolds, people thought he had AIDS, that he had HIV because
he was so thin.
He was emaciated.
What
he was going through was the TMJ where he wasn't getting any sleep. He just became a different person.
Well, this isn't the same as that, but I know that Andrea does yoga as well. And like there are times where the instructor instructs you. She says, at this point, if you're clenching your teeth together, stop. And a lot of the times I am, and I'm like,
you're not even aware of it.
You're not aware of it.
Has to point it out to you, and you really have to be conscious of it because it becomes this thing where it's just it's automatic. Like your body does it without you even realizing that you're doing it.
See if you can consciously tell yourself and for how long you can do it to not even have your top and bottom teeth touching. It's really, really difficult because I think your normal like resting face is your teeth. They're not necessarily, they don't have to be clenched, but they are touching.
Right. And well, so you're saying there's a little game you play to...
I've done it, yeah.
Yeah.
When they check your bite, they have, you know, the... You click down,
mm-hmm.
or and that's your impression of Val Kilmer.
Top Gun, or Tom Cruise,
actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
It was Val that does it.
Val does it.
Ice Man.
Yeah. That whole thing. You planes. Boner alert.
Yeah. How does anybody think that's a good movie?
I know. Listen, it's a subject for another time.
Yeah.
It's Can of Worms.
Oh, geez, God.
All right, I have one last suggestion on this list of things that you can do
to feel better
in the morning, to be happier while you are at work. And number six on this list is recognize that happiness won't necessarily come from your work itself.
Right.
It says it's helpful to consider where you think you should be getting your happiness from. You may be looking for it in the wrong places. Work doesn't have to be the thing that contributes to your happiness. You bring your happiness to work.
Are you about to sing the Urban Cowboy theme? Looking for love in all...
Oh.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Was that Johnny Lee? Was that his name?
Wasn't that Garth Brooks?
No, Brooks. Definitely not Garth Brooks.
I spent a lifetime looking for love.
I think it was Johnny Lee.
Isn't that Buckwheat?
What? That was Whoopin' Po' Nub.
All right.
Which was the Eddie Murphy bit about that. No, anyway. So they said it is a mindset shift that is required to expand your definition of happiness so it isn't so contingent upon the conditions of your workplace.
And that's a good idea. You listen, it's great if your work situation makes you happier, but you can't rely on external forces to make you happy.
Mm-hmm. Teaching yourself to feel good can help you not depend on outside forces like a job to help you feel happy.
There you go.
And that's an important lesson that will help you at work and outside of it. And if you can pleasure yourself while you're at work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good way.
Yeah.
Every morning. Kathy's
chair. Do you guys want to hear the Headspace Seaside Town one by any chance?
Yeah, that's the one that you use to fall asleep. Though if you missed this part of the segment, because this has been a longer segment than I thought it was going to be. Headspace, which is an app that you can use for mindful meditation, now, Casey was saying, has on Netflix some of their guided stuff, and I'm going to check into that. That's pretty cool, and it can help you drift off to sleep.
It's a smart idea, especially since a lot of people have the TV on at night when they're going to bed.
Okay. Yeah, so if you do a Headspace search on Netflix, three different things are going to pop up. Choose the one that says interactive.
Okay, so this is Casey's... essentially a story to help him fall asleep, and the seaside town is the one that he went with.
You take a seat by the large window at the end of the room.
Oh, I like this already.
Mm-hmm. You've arrived.
The ocean sounds. I'm literally kind of swaying to my left and right now as I'm listening to this.
Just in time to watch the sun make its first contact with the horizon.
Oh, stop it.
What's that? Is a lone swimmer
as
out
you
there?
Settle in to the soft,
a young sort
upholstery,
of crispy, wrinkly looking girl. Is a fin in the water.
Your eye is drawn along the length of the harbor.
I like
just
this.
Just outside.
Yeah.
I love this sort of setting.
Yes. So she sets everything in place, and then she tells you what to do with your body.
Oh, okay. Now the waiter walks towards you, and you say, do you have cheesy bread? I like cheesy bread. He says, no, sorry, sir, we don't have cheesy bread. And you realize he's lying to you. The place is called Cheesy Bread Charlie's. Do you take me for a fool?
Hang on, let me play.
Suddenly, your fists, which you've kept hidden in your sleeves, start to descend, ready for a brawl. You're going to teach this dickhead a lesson.
All right. Hang on, let me play just a little bit more of this.
Down by the port, the approaching tide blows its way through a line of docked fishing boats, raising each with a gentle, familiar bob.
Oh, I dig that. And the ocean sounds are playing on my ASMR, too, so that's...
There you go. It's such a soothing sound. Being down by the ocean now, do you it's got to be very...
We were there all day yesterday. Well, not all day, but for several hours, and it was just it was fantastic. I went, actually, the day before, I went and stood out about knee-deep, and I was by myself.
Yeah.
And I just stood there, and I closed my eyes, and I listened to the water. I listened to the kids playing.
Right, it's a great sound.
Birds, and I just...
It's such a relaxing...
Took it all in. It was fantastic.
Can I ask a question?
I'm pissed. You're the king of the world.
Can I ask a question about when you're wearing polarized sunglasses, why it makes the water appear clearer?
Because it's eliminating the glare.
That's all?
That's the whole idea.
Okay. I don't... Dude, I have
no... You can see things clear. For example, I have a heads-up display in my car. If I use polarized glasses...
You can't see it.
I can't see it.
Oh, wow.
Because it eliminates the glare.
That's what polarization does?
That's what it does.
I never knew. All I knew is that, like, when I look at my phone with polarized glasses on, I have to turn it to the side. Yeah.
It looks very strange.
I never liked the lens in the polarized glasses, so I don't have any.
I don't use them anymore.
You don't use them?
Because I like to see my heads-up display.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. They eliminate glare, essentially, is what it said. It says the chemical filter on polarized sunglasses removes glare by absorbing the incoming horizontal light while still allowing vertical light.
That reminds me.
The lenses only allow in vertical light, acting as a chemical Venetian blind.
Mm. I have these Canons. I love them. They're the best sunglasses I've ever owned.
Those, yeah.
Yeah, they're terrific. But they do, like, the polarization wears off after a while.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so...
It becomes spotty, doesn't it?
Well, it's kind of like your hiking shoes, Steve. Like, you need to replace them every year or two.
No, I'm replacing my hiking shoes every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about the sunglasses.
Oh, very good.
Sometimes I hold the hiking shoes up to my eye. See, it completely eliminates any glare.
Right. I just forget, you know?
Yeah.
And you can also see, like, sometimes windshields and things like that or windows cars will be, they'll look spotted.
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. Because maybe, do they have some kind of polarization on them?
And that's what you're saying?
So
these glasses that I have now, my prescription glasses, because I'm looking at things close to me that are small print, and then I'm looking up at you guys, and instead of taking readers, putting readers on and off, I got these glasses. They have a little bit of anti-glare treatment on them, so to eliminate that sort of stuff, because it's distracting.
All right, here's a stupid question.
Yeah, man.
Can they make... They can. They should be able to make prescription windshields. So that you wouldn't have to wear your glasses.
Well, other people in the car are going to go blind.
You know what? The driver, that's all that matters.
Well, your prescription needs to be updated from time to time.
Right, like, so you should put your windshield.
You should go every year, and like every 2 years or so, you probably need new glasses.
I'm
so
going to get my windshield updated.
What you do, Preston?
Sorry, I'm getting it through.
You pull into the bay. And your optometrist says, okay, read the seventh line. It's like Jiffy Lube and Eye Care Center.
God, imagine getting in a car and seeing, and it's not your prescription, and everything is way out of focus. It's all blurry.
Oh, I would throw up.
They can do, what I do like are prescription sunglasses.
Bausch & Lomb today. When was this story printed?
2014,
introduced what they claim is the world's first prescription vehicle windshield. The company will offer a full line of prescription windshields.
No way.
Including bifocal, trifocal, quadfocal, and UV blockers. But hang on a second. This was written in 2014.
Where haven't you heard a word?
Yeah. Where's the follow-up story? This is the most recent thing that came up in a search.
Richard, can you come up to the office? We saw that press release about the bifocal windshield.
Hang on a second. Here.
I think it's a hoax.
We're getting calls. Somebody says they have a prescription. I don't have their name.
It's for tint.
Yeah, but still. Evan. Hey, Evan, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, man. So you essentially have a tinted windshield? I mean, a prescription windshield?
So I do not. I drive around with it illegally. However, you can go to the eye doctor and get prescription tint for your car.
Wait. But that means you're allowed to have your windows tinted because you need them. It's not... For say you have poor vision. I mean, meaning you know,
far-sighted
or nearsighted.
It's more for people who have like light sensitivities. So like at night, the headlights or the sun during the day. But if you double up and you wear polarized sunglasses, you can actually like look at other people's windows and they're rainbow, and I've never known why.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone looks like Richie Blackmore.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. Let me go to one more. And then we got to take a break here in just a second. I'm going to go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Yo, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Gadzooks.
If you're wearing a pair of Polaroid, they're the guys that came up with polarized sunglasses.
Oh.
But if you're wearing a pair and you hold another pair up in front of that pair and you turn them sideways, it will actually create a black screen. You won't be able to see through it.
Because you have the different directions of light cancellation on top of each other, and so they black out everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks. So all right, guys. Polaroid invented polarized sunglasses?
I had no idea. Kodak invented Kodiak bears.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they've been around that long.
Yeah.
Are we verifying that?
Well, they do that. They manufacture them. I don't know if they invented them, but let's just go with what the caller said.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Kodak, actually, by the way, just so people, they got rid of their bear division years ago.
Well, it was not very profitable.
No. Things are, you have to maintain those. I mean, it's expensive to feed and whatnot.
A lot of
salmon. Sometimes they'll kill you. Edwin Land invented Polaroid, the world's first polarizing material for commercial use. Huh. He founded the Polaroid Corporation in 1937, and I guess maybe that came first before their envoy into or in their before
entree,
they,
yeah.
entree into photographs.
But he actually got killed because he was the inventor of the polar bear.
He held up the polar bear to his face. Big mistake.
No, it's bad.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, these are ways to have a nice day in the morning before you go to work.
I hope we cleared things up.
Yeah. Are we clear on that?
Crystal.
Yeah, good. We should take a break.
All right.
We're going to do that, and we'll come back. Oh, damn it.
What?
I did a brief mention of it at the top or the end of the last break, and I said I was going to give a little bit more details. We made the announcement last week that the Camp Out for Hunger dates have been announced. It's a save the date, and the reason we're doing it this early is because the dates have changed again. Traditionally, over the years, we did it the week leading up to Thanksgiving. Or was it the week after Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Sorry. And we changed it last year because of COVID, obviously. And we're tweaking it again because of the sports complex and their commitments and games and schedules and all that stuff. So we're going to do it even earlier this year, and we're going to see how this goes.
Just to
I think this actually could be pretty... I think this could be a positive, but... you know, we'll wait and see what happens.
Well, we know at least we won't be in the middle of a cluttered schedule because everyone's scrambling to get their events into these places, and we wanted to make sure things were easy for you to get in and out of there.
This year, November 1st to the 5th is when we will be doing it. So it will be at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. And more information is coming a little bit later on this summer. But we're excited about it, and our buddy Jeff Walton already got in touch. The Philatrunk event. He was like, "Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it on Halloween. We'll do it the day before." So they're going to plan on doing that. But more details like that will be coming out soon. But it is the day after Halloween. It will start this year. Just put that in your calendar. Get yourself ready so you know when to get your food drive started and be a part of it, because we're going to need your help. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
HD. It ain't just for your TV anymore. Use your HD radio to hear the best sounding MMR there is. Plus, enjoy MMR HD 2, the MM Archives channel. Everything that rocks never sounded so good.
May I do a chart out?
Yeah, hey.
A couple of them actually. Hang on, I think I. Yes. Yep, I almost threw one away. How about that?
Was it resting on the edge of the garbage can?
No, that drives Casey crazy. It was not. But I thought this was a really nice thing, and to point out a staff member here at MMR who is essential to what we do and is an awesome person. And this comes from Tammy Rosato, and she said, "Hey, Preston, I wanted to know if I could get a big juicy shout out for Eric Simon of your promotion department."
Yeah.
I bought tickets to MM Barbecue 2020, but with COVID as we know it, it was canceled. Had the option to get a refund or a credit, and I went for the credit. However, the credit never hit my Ticketmaster account. I tried everything to reach Ticketmaster. And then she goes through the laundry list of stuff she had to go through. She said, "I called the show to see if somehow someone there could help me. And I was told to email Eric." I emailed him. We began in of May, and we have been working on this issue since then. And as of today, I received the email from Eric that I have been waiting for. He let me know the credit was finally on my account, and I'm so very much appreciative of him, and I couldn't have done it without him. So thank you so much again, Eric, and I can't wait to see you guys at the MM Barbecue. So that's for Eric Simon, who makes sure he goes above and beyond to each and every listener that has an issue.
Yeah.
And he gets it all worked out, and that dude... just he does so much.
Well, think about,
I would never be able to do the job that Eric does. There's no way.
You could have a show. His job could be just the things that surround the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yep.
All of that. Add on the MMRBQ and all the other stuff that he does. It's a level of attention to detail that I can't even comprehend.
Yep. Eric is our promotions director, if you didn't know what he does. So nice acknowledgement for that young man. As Norman says, "Hey, been a loyal fan since Y100 days and love the variety that your show offers."
Huh.
Even though you're dead wrong about Twister being a terrible movie, I still enjoy listening.
It's a terrible good movie.
My wife, Megan, regularly listens to your podcast since she doesn't commute to work anymore. And she's a great wife and mother to our two boys, Jacob and Cole. And she always keeps me in check when I get worked up about nonsense. Please send her a shout out since she loves hearing farts and talking about them. Keep up the good work." And that's from Dirk Bauter, or Bowder, I think is his name. So here's a shout. You know, I may as well do these so I can make sure that everybody gets their due. Hang on here. Says, "Hey, I was hoping," this is from Sam. Or no, it's not from Sam. Yeah, it's from Sam Newell. Says, "I was hoping to give a birthday shout out to my husband, Jerry. We have both been loyal listeners for many, many years and listen every single day. So I know that he will hear it whenever you remember. I, of course, hope that you can get it for his birthday. For a little history, we met you in 2018 in Clearwater at a Phillies game where we were so excited to meet you. Thanks." And that's from Sam, Brianna, and Braden. So there's a shout out. One last one. And then I have a little letter that I'm going to read. And this one says, "Hey, Casey, Steve, Preston, Kathy, Nick, Marissa, long-time listener here, passing through South Carolina. I'm not much of a drinker, and I don't want to sensationalize drinking, but look at this here in the middle of South Carolina of all places. Please send a shout-out to these magnificent people at Eagles Liquor, Beer, and Wine in Boiling Springs, South Carolina."
Jeez.
They were actually playing MMR at the time that I was
oh
in there.
God.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, isn't that great?
And is it Eagles as in the football?
I'm guessing so.
All right.
And that's from James Ritz, who emailed in. So here's a chart. That's pretty awesome. Boiling Springs.
Where's that?
Sounds lovely, right?
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go swimming in the boiling springs.
Molten lava.
South Carolina. Nick is going to look that up now. Yeah, there's it looks like it's a green awning, and the font is written in green, and it looks like a fairly close to the old classic Eagles eagle. That, you know,
for they the must be from team. Around here.
Yeah. And look, they have the classic Philly ice refrigerator outside.
Boiling Springs looks like it's near Spartanburg.
The gateway to Inman Mills.
Oh, is that what it's? That's their.
No, I just made that up.
Okay.
I made a life decision in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Did you?
What was your life decision? I was playing an all-girls school, and I was watching, I was at a motel doing stand-up comedy. You know, not at the motel. I was planning on doing that at the school. And I was watching the show Kung Fu in Spanish, and I said, you know what? Maybe it's time to come off the road right now and focus in on other stuff. Yeah. And I did.
And that was that your last show you ever did?
One of my last shows. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was doing well. The problem was it was so enticing, but I wanted to evolve the career, as they say, and get back to hooking.
All right. And then one last letter. It says, hey, Preston and Steve, fellow neighbors over in Bala One. One of your listeners just came in, and she wanted me to tell you that Patty Ann had her V-Steam treatment.
Oh!
And it was amazing and fantastic. She mentioned you talked about us on your show. I am Paula, the owner and CEO of V-Spot Philadelphia and Young Medical Spa Mainline.
Way to go, Paula.
And she goes on to talk about her business and who she's involved with. And she said, I wanted to thank you for your shout-out on your show the other day. If you would have me, I'd love to come and talk with you and your listeners about what V-Spot is all about. So I don't know if she realizes we want to get steamed.
Yeah.
We want to do a penis steam. We want to get steamed.
Well, the main check will be on Kathy if you're into it. We'll have, you know, because it's mainly for the vagina. But I have a feeling that there might be medicinal benefits to getting our junk steamed.
We could be groundbreakers.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't tried it yet.
So I did email her back because you forwarded me that email. So I did email her back. However, prior to even seeing her email, I had called over there because I did really want to find out information about it. What I found out, and maybe Paula will be able to, is Paula the owner?
Yep.
Okay. Maybe she'll be able to work something out. But what they offer is not what we saw Jada Pinkett Smith do, which was like over that, that like bowl or whatever. So this is actually like a spa treatment, although they are doing like a similar type of treatment that Jada Pinkett Smith got. It's not something that we could do in studio. So I emailed her to see if maybe there's something she could do over here.
All right.
So we'll see.
How about just hang a bowl of soup under your nuts?
Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah, right?
We can tie. Hey.
Soup to nuts.
Campbell's.
Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Literally.
Get a bowl of chowder on your balls. Write that down.
Campbell's. Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts.
Promotion.
Oh, how is that not a thing already?
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sit in your little tent with your soup under your balls. Do you feel relaxed? It's a wonderful seaside town.
How could you not?
As you take your robe and drape it over the hot bowl of soup.
Yeah.
The wrinkles on your testicles even out.
So there's more to the vaginal steaming.
Can we?
So it's not just.
Can you dry clean your vagina?
Well, listen, there is like a steaming portion of it, but the woman actually like massages your
balls?
Like abdominal muscles.
Really?
And like, yeah. Like,
can you get your cooch martinized?
Stop it.
Martinizing. Fartinizing.
They clean your butthole. Paula. No, Paula, listen, we are serious about this.
Can't you tell? We are serious. We are very serious.
We want to fartinize our buttholes.
We are college educated, Paula.
Yes, some of us. Absolutely. Some of us have.
Some of us went to college for a little while.
And a number of us have seen movies that feature college.
Yep.
So we all.
Listen, whatever. I find that all. This apparently is based on a treatment that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years.
Would you classify this as holistic treatment?
I think it would be holistic treatment.
Right.
And many times there is some very valid aspects to that.
For real.
Yeah. So everyone who's done the vaginal steaming and you say Paula does this as a real like in spa treatment.
It's like a spa treatment.
They sing the praises of it.
Yeah, I do really want to try it. Yeah. I looked at their website because there's two businesses I guess in one, and so I looked at the Young's Medical Spa as well, and they do something where they
do an open vagina roast beef sandwich.
No. they help with hair regrowth. Now, listen, I know if it does actually work, people would be flocking there, but I kind of want to try it.
Steve, the mashed potatoes give a anti-inflammatory
absolutely
treatment.
Yeah, they draw the toxins out.
It's a starch, so.
Sorry, Paul.
I would like the open vagina roast beef sandwich, please.
We're going to get another email that says, I don't want to come in anymore.
This was a horrible mistake.
This is a terrible mistake. Sorry, I emailed you.
They asked for gravy.
I'm sorry. I mean to snort. Oh, God.
Also, okay. Can I?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you need steam cleaned? We'll take care of it.
No, it's not about steam cleaning. Okay. It's about this terrible email system that we have here. So
I emailed
Paula, and it says this message is a warning that an email you are trying to send has not yet been delivered. You do not have to do anything as the email is still queued for delivery. What the frig does that mean?
Well, if you've here's my thing with
what
this, Kathy.
What the frig does that mean?
Well,
you will receive a rejection notice after a maximum of 4 days. So I have to
wait four days for cats?
Yeah, to see if Paula gets my email.
You know what? She gave me her cell phone number.
All right, so we'll just call her. Paula, if anyone you know is listening, please tell Paula, thank you, and we're going to explore this because it is a thing. Yes. We just had a maybe Paula can whip up this treatment, you know, on
the maybe.
Side.
We'll supply the roast beef.
Right, yeah exactly.
Hey,
and
hey,
a soup. Soup and Sammy.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I did have a couple of things I noticed outside of those emails.
Oh, really?
And yeah, if that's cool with you guys.
It's time for the noticer. Hey, by the way, when does Stranger Things debut again? Is it 2020?
I thought, did we mention that?
It's next year.
Are you goddamn kidding me?
Well, it's not officially official, but it looks like 2022.
All right. Sorry, I veered off course there.
No, it's okay. I noticed this thing. This is a really sad note to it, but it is odd and interesting, worth pointing out. So Champlain Towers in Miami. You know,
yes.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
I think they've only found like nine bodies.
I think it's nine.
Yeah, and there's over 100 missing, 150 or something like that.
This is
just not going to be good.
Stop and think about the worst scenario, though, Preston. People at home asleep.
Yeah.
You know, so in other words, the likelihood of the occupancy being almost at max was great.
So, but there's this interesting story and horrible, too. This guy, Jake Samuelson, his grandparents, Arnie and Miriam, lived in apartment 302. The family still waiting to hear from them. But this weird thing has happened. His mother's house line has been receiving calls from the landline phone that rested next to their bed. They're getting,
oh,
but
dear God.
No human sound on the end of the line. It's just static.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Oh my God. That's
so there's part of them that's going,
she's alive.
Is somebody dialing and can't speak?
Right.
But they're hearing just static. So they've received a total of 16 calls.
Oh, my God. That is awful.
The first one coming in the evening after the condo collapse at 9:50 p.m. Thursday.
I mean,
Samuel said when the first call came in, the family had a mix of emotions, obviously. They said we were shocked. We kind of thought nothing of it because we answered and it was static. On Friday morning when the family went to the reunification center, there were more calls, 15 to be exact. Every call after has been gut-wrenching because they don't know if it's actually the Notkins, the family, or something else that's going on. I can't even imagine. This reminds me of Sorry, Wrong Number. Yeah,
or Twilight Zone episode where the woman is getting calls. A phone line has gone down on the
gravesite
of where her deceased is. But, I can't even imagine. They were talking to a couple of people, Preston, who are already in the throes of massive survivor's guilt.
Oh, my God.
Who you know, the one guy is saying, the apartment next to me, the condo,
gone.
Why do I walk? Why am I alive?
There's a number of horrifying stories, obviously, coming out of this. But one that I saw was there were three grandmothers who go away every year together. And one of the ladies owned a place here. And the three of them were there. And one of them had called her son and said, there's these weird noises in the condo. I don't know what it is. And he was like, don't worry about it. Relax, relax. You know, you guys will have a good time. And then this.
And he's doing what anybody would do, which is, hey, you're there for.
Enjoy.
Vacation, relax, don't worry about it. Take it easy. It's and now has to have horrible awful guilt.
Well, you know, there's also been in the rubble there, because of the lines and stuff like that. There have been little mini fires that have erupted. They've had flooding. They've had bad weather.
Well, they have to worry about the rest of it collapsing.
The rest of it collapsing.
So the story, I guess, came out on Sunday, the one that I relayed to you. And Samuelson, the grandson, said the family didn't get any calls on Saturday. The last one they had was Friday night. They tried calling the number, and they get the sound of a busy signal. And they're wondering if anyone else, you know, if this is just some kind of anomaly through the phone lines, if anybody else has had the same experience. But I can't imagine how freaky that would be and horrifying and all the, you know, all those emotions.
You're being tortured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So I noticed that. That one's a real downer. But I noticed something else. Steve sent this story to me. And this is a follow-up to something we have mentioned before, that apparently there is supposedly, or people think, that there might be all this gold hidden in Elk County, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
A Civil War treasure, and a recently unsealed document has revealed what's happened with this. And I don't know if I have all the answers or not, but the FBI in Philadelphia spent several days in March 2018 digging for gold at Dent's Run. That's what it's called, Dent's, D-E-N-T-S. And has long said that nothing was found in the excavation. The treasure hunters who had been studying the site for decades had always thought that the agency was lying about it. The FBI had done its homework on the gold, even if the story turned out to be a fairy tale.
Dude, I just camped at Dent's Run last year.
Really?
So yeah.
The legend of the Elk County gold dates back to the summer of 1863, when a special Union detachment was tasked with transporting 26 gold bars, each weighing 50 pounds, from West Virginia to the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia.
It's incredible.
That detachment, as the story goes, was ambushed, the gold lost, and supposedly buried. So there are some people that believe that it's out there and have been looking for it.
One of those great legends.
Yeah.
You know.
But I read through the story, Steve, and I can't
there's
really...
There's no resolution.
There's no resolution to this. I thought maybe they would say that they went... You know, the FBI says they went and they looked for it and they couldn't find anything.
That hasn't dissuaded...
the treasure hunters? Yeah. So Dennis and Kem Parada and Warren Gettler are some of the names that are kicked around in this article. But they're wondering if... I think that they had alerted the government to that this was out there, and that and they're, some are wondering if the government went and found it and just took it.
Well, and that's there are many stories like this where you know, oh, they found it and they took it. Right. There are stories of hidden treasure throughout, you know, the country from different time periods, so a lot of people believe, well, no, actually, as you just said, the government found it and they kept it.
Right. What's that one place? Oak Island? You guys ever heard of that?
That show Oak Island, yeah. Is so effing boring, and it should be exciting, but they're looking for this hidden treasure, and it's just, it's so boring. I mean, they're constantly looking, and
are they constantly just saying,
excavating,
and they're saying, well, here's
we think it's here, we found it.
Well, here's the evidence as to why it's buried here, you know, and then they go, and it's, well, it's not buried.
And I want to just be there with a megaphone saying, you know, if you don't find anything soon, you can all go to hell. I don't care.
Do they have 9 seasons of Oak Island?
Yeah. They haven't found it yet.
At this point.
It's like another one called, Claire will start laughing at home because the commercial will come on and I'll scream out, F Oak Island.
Yeah.
I fell down that hole. They led me astray.
Yep.
Find something.
All right. So somewhere there's gold in them, our hills.
Would you?
At least those people believe.
Would you, have you ever had like a metal detector or anything like that? Not a metal, like a, you know, like a,
yeah, metal detector. Yeah. We had one, Carter wanted one for Christmas one year. I'm like, this is, I know what's going to happen.
Right, yeah.
You're going to tinker with it for a day.
Of course.
Bring it to the beach.
Well, it eventually rotted in the corner of his room, and I threw it away because I'm like, I didn't think we'd ever be at, you know, have a beach house or anything like that. Nah. But now he's like, ooh, I wonder if we should get it. No! We bought you one of those things.
He can buy one himself.
I haven't seen any people yet.
Can
doing
I get
that,
a home beer making kit?
But they are around there. And they never really, they find trinkets and things every now
it's
and then.
It's still cool, though. There was something, I sent you a story that is somewhat germane, even a little Tito to this, Preston. It's about this structure off the shore. Did you see? It's like an excavating...
Oh, yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a rig, and everyone's asking about what it is.
Yeah, it was. They were doing dredging. And,
yeah.
And they left a pipe that they were going to come back and get later, and the pipe started to deteriorate.
Right.
And they can't pull it out, and they left this thing moored out there.
That everyone's saying, what is this effing thing?
It's just an unsightly-looking barge of some type out in the water, and it's up further north in New Jersey.
Right.
So it's not really around our area, but... so, anyhow... They've given up looking for this gold or what?
Private gold hunters are at it right now. I mean, they the search is on.
And Nick, you were in this area, Dent.
So I camped.
Dent Run.
Camped right along Dent Run.
Did you hear any mention of it while you were out there?
No. Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah. That all of this has been going on. Maybe we talked about it before, but anyway. One of the greatest campsites I've ever stayed at. Absolutely gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah, really tranquil, really beautiful. And they have wild elk in that part. It's Elk County, and so people will go. It's one of the largest wild elk herds east of the Mississippi, and it's a beautiful part of Pennsylvania.
I didn't know we even had
elk. I know,
elk
neither did I, but it's worth the trip. It's about 3.5-4 hours. It's a haul, but it's really tranquil. It's really beautiful, and like I said, a great campground.
Wow. Okay. All right. I noticed this other thing. Boners. Boner alert, in fact, actually. Right. Yeah, so this is new research. New research finds that there's been a jump in sales of erectile dysfunction or ED, ED drugs.
Boner alert. Oh, my God.
Especially Tadalafil, which is marketed as Cialis in the U.S. over the past year.
Is that, has Cialis come off patent?
I don't know.
Because a lot of times drugs will come off patent and then you'll get all these knockoffs.
Yes. Well, you can get a generic version of Cialis.
Right.
So if that's what you mean.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times it's called patent. Yeah. When you want a boner, when you look into your buddy's face, you realize you just can't get it up. Then by God, you'll know how to.
Why did you bring up this picture of a penis in front of me?
Well, so earlier I was looking up the origins of baloney, and then I ended up looking up balanitis, which is different than baloney, although also pink. And
is that when your penis turns to baloney?
It's when the glands gets inflamed.
So it's
a medical issue that has to do with the wang.
I see commercials all the time, Preston, for the home delivery of the knockoff.
Which I don't trust, but I would trust the generic Viagra or a generic Cialis. What's the difference, right?
Yeah.
What's that now?
I don't trust the home delivery, you know, boner pills, but I would get a generic
boner pills.
Cialis or a generic Viagra.
Yeah.
Boner
yeah. However, I don't like when you go to pick up your prescription and they've taken it upon themselves to give you the generic version, because
that should be your choice.
That's what your insurance.
That's your insurance will pay for.
Yeah. Right. I don't like that.
I don't want that.
But a lot of times your insurance.
I'm here for real Viagra, not your knockoff stuff.
It's cheaper, so they don't want to pay for it. So Dr. Benjamin Davies said, we saw a huge spike in sales of daily use erectile dysfunction pills, drugs, which suggests that some people were having more spontaneous sex than ever with their partners at home. They wanted to always be ready because Cialis is the one that you can take daily.
That's the one. Like after
Viagra is the one. That's like, oh, I better take one. You know,
after I had my prostate surgery, so it's basically a blood thinner, you know, of sorts. And so I was on Cialis for a long time, and you take a low dose, and it's there you go.
So his team compared sales of ED drugs before March 2020 and during the initial months of the pandemic, March to December 2020. The account. For other factors that might influence the sale of drugs, though, such as access to pharmacies. The study authors also analyzed the sales of other urological drugs, which didn't change in the months after the pandemic was declared. There was a short decrease in ED medication sales in March and April 2020, but sales of the drugs have steadily risen since then, according to the findings outlined in the research letter published Friday in the Journal of Internal Medicine.
Was the decrease in March because of March Madness?
I don't know. You never know.
You never know, right?
I mean, because the vasectomies go up.
They do.
In that
could be a correlation.
In that month, so you never know.
Wasn't there been talk for a long while, and we've talked about various stories coming out about sort of an equivalent for women of Viagra?
Yeah.
That, and I don't exactly know what it was.
Supposed to stimulate libido, I think, essentially.
Maybe
not,
that's it.
Well, there's
a vagoner. It
makes them more mushy. I don't, what?
A vaginer.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like actual oral medication, but the V spot, back to them, they do like, a, I think it's called an O shot or something like that.
Really? That'll get you all amped up?
No, it's an injection and it like, I think it. It lasts like it lasts a long time.
Like a hoppy
thing? You mean like for an ED thing?
Yeah. Well,
what would be the equivalent? So for men, it's to remain, you know,
right,
firm.
Yes. Right. So I think it helps with it helps with that. It helps with sex drive. Sex drive.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, how do I put this? Maybe
renders her mute.
Moisture. So
there you go. Now, you just said the word you hate.
Right. Well, yeah, that was the only way I could explain it to you
I think you're exactly right.
They've got some wild stuff in this list here. Vampire breast lift.
What's that?
Your breasts only rise at night?
V-tightening hormone replacement therapy, Esmela Kegel Throne.
Ooh, a V-plump.
O-shot, which is the thing you mentioned. V-lightning.
Man, you have a plumpy-ass vagina.
Vampire breast lift, V-plump. Mm. And 24 karat gold wax and lead LED.
Yep, LED.
Yeah. man, my.
A vagical.
Oh,
like a facial.
Vagational.
Oh, a vagical would involve a small wooden stick.
Yeah.
Oh, like a popsicle. I'm sorry. I didn't put that together.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. We'll talk to the V-spot. We'll talk to Paula.
Listen, we're just scratching the surface of this new world.
All right, and something completely different. Let's get out of my crotch here for a minute. Well, there's actually a lot of things we could talk about, but I do want to mention this because I think we should all agree this man was a very important individual. The Bank of England began circulating its new 50-pound banknotes. Wow, that's heavy.
Yes, it is.
No, featuring World War II codebreaker Alan Turing on Wednesday. Which would have been the pioneering math genius's 109th birthday.
Critical to the success of, you know, the victory
yes.
in World War II.
And computers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Often referred to as the father of computer science and artificial intelligence, Turing was hailed as a war hero and granted the honor by King George VI at the end of the war for helping to defeat the Nazis. Despite this, however, he died as a disgraced criminal simply for being a gay man. And if you ever saw the movie The Imitation Game, mm-hmm. you've seen the story, and it's pretty, it's horrifying and wonderful all in the same light because of how brilliant he was and how he used his smarts. But Sarah John, who is the Bank of England's chief cashier, said, "I'm delighted that Alan Turing features on our new 50-pound banknote. He was a brilliant scientist whose thinking still shapes our lives today. However, his many contributions to society were still not enough to spare him the appalling treatment to which he was subjected simply because he was gay. By placing him on the new $50 note, or 50-pound note, I should say, we're celebrating his life and his achievements, of which we should all be very proud." I thought that was pretty cool of them to do that.
No, it is cool.
Very cool.
It's an essential part of winning the war. And,
Yep, exactly.
Making the right move.
Yes, exactly. So, all right, and that's all we have time for. Yeah. I've been told we can't notice anything more. We will notice other things.
No more time to notice, but he'll be back.
Yep, we will absolutely.
In an all-new adventure.
Of the noticer. Right. By the way, Steve, real quick, Preston, just wrapped filming on Stranger Things Season 4, so they still have post-production and all sorts of stuff, so I would not expect it this year.
All right. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. We got some Bizarre File stories. They are just for you, so stay right there, you.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's take a trip to the world of the bizarre.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Faulkner Buick GMC and Trevos. They're ready to help you upgrade to a new vehicle today. View inventory and pricing online at FaulknerBuickGMC.com, to be sure. Story in California. I saw the video of this. It's wild. You need to see it. The city of Lemoore has declared a state of emergency following the deadly water tank explosion Monday afternoon. The rupture of a 1.5 million gallon city water tank has left the site out of operation. I've never seen an explosion quite like this.
It looks like a movie special effect.
It lifts up off the ground.
Yeah.
It flies in the air. It's crazy. City officials released new footage Tuesday night that captured the moment the tank exploded, hurtling a city employee and killing a contractor as well. The city manager, Nathan Olson, said as the contractor started to weld, an explosion ensued. The tank separated from the ground, lifted approximately 70 feet vertically before a tsunami occurred, causing major damage to well site number 7. Olson says the injured city employee is now out of the hospital and is resting with family, but a 41-year-old contractor named Dion Jones never made it home. Look at this, Casey. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? How high that thing goes. If you get a chance to see that video, it's pretty terrifying to see that something that big can fly, that's filled with water, can fly that high in the air. A Maine driver clocked at 110 miles per hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone told police that his passenger had to go, as in find a restroom, and that's why he was going 65 miles an hour over the posted speed limit on Tuesday in Fairfield. An officer gave pursuit. No one was hurt in the pursuit, which ended in a convenience store parking lot. Police said the passenger went inside to use the bathroom while the driver was arrested on charges of criminal speeding, operating after suspension, and driving under the influence as well.
There you go.
So they've been drinking, they had to pee, and they were hauling ass to get where they needed to get, maybe. Five people, you guys probably saw this story, five people are dead after a hot air balloon crash in Albuquerque. The hot air balloon had hit a power line just after 7 a.m., the basket that the passengers were riding in detached from the envelope, crashed, and caught fire. The basket fell about 100 feet.
Oh, wow.
The envelope, which is the, you know, inflatable part of it, kept going. Authorities said they located a little over a mile south of the crash site.
Did you see the footage from the spotter who was...
No.
Yeah, so they see it happen, and you can tell that it's just going to be not good.
Four people, two men, including the pilot, and two women were reported dead following the crash. Police confirmed that a man who was transported to a hospital in critical condition also passed away.
And I understand that there was, like, a woman who, like, was on a bucket list as she was retiring.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, man.
To take a balloon ride.
Power was out for about 13,000 customers in the area following the crash, but that's just horrible that that happened. All right, something lighter, lighter. Here we go. Tennessee police arrested two people accused of shooting up a Burger King after a dispute over spicy chicken sandwich.
Uh-oh. Was it the Chick King? Because I had it.
What'd you think?
I really liked it. I got to try it two or three more times just to kind of really
you don't want
to
be rash.
No, exactly.
Tavares McKinney and Keona Halliburton reportedly got into a fight June 6th with employees at a Memphis Burger King after Halliburton complained that her sandwich had too much hot sauce on it.
Too hot.
The pair left the restaurant only to return a few minutes later. They started shooting, and it injured two people.
This sandwich is not to my liking. I'm going home and getting my gun.
Four witnesses identified McKinney and Halliburton to police. They were arrested Wednesday. McKinney's background check, by the way, reportedly revealed 9 previous cases and 10 warrants, with charges including aggravated assault, kidnapping, and domestic assault.
Mm.
You would think shooting up over a sandwich might alert the police, of which you've had run-ins with many times before.
They don't understand what it means to just lay low.
Halliburton is scheduled to appear in court today, facing charges of attempted first-degree murder and employment of a firearm during a felony. All right, and then we'll do one more story before we wrap this edition of the B-File. This is a wild story. They flew the coop and vanished into thin air. Bird handlers are devastated after a mind-boggling 5,000 homing pigeons seemingly disappeared during a race across the UK.
5,000.
Yeah. Hobbyist Richard Sayers wrote in a Facebook post, "We've seen one of the very worst ever racing days in our entire history." This occurred Saturday after 9,000 racing birds took off from Peterborough, Cambridgeshire, on a journey to the northeast. And while the 170-mile round-trip flight should have only taken about 3 hours, over half of the avian competitors were still unaccounted for. They were reportedly part of 250,000 pigeons released in approximately 50 racing events across the country, with just 10% of them returning on time and another tens of thousands reported missing. They think it's unclear what exactly prompted it, but Sayers, whose local pigeon coop reportedly lost as many as 300 birds in the flight, said that most breeders are blaming the atmospheric conditions, possibly a solar storm above the clouds that created static in the atmosphere, because apparently if it messes with the magnetic field, the pigeons use something like a meteorological GPS
right.
of sorts.
Their internal system can follow. Mm.
And so it may have led them astray, and that's a ton of birds to lose.
Yes!
In an event like that.
That's so a good thing birds aren't real.
That's true.
You know, we learned that earlier.
That's why the meeting is taking place in Springfield, Missouri, the Birds Aren't Real Fellowship or whatever it is. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. We're going to break. When we come back, we'll see if you've been listening, because we'll have a question, a lesson question pertaining to today's program. We'll have a prize associated with that. We'll also get to the trash and music news. Stay with us. Back in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
94 degrees. It's what the number's going to read, but the sensation that you're going to get.
The real feel?
Yeah, the temperature, the humidity is going to make it feel as if it is 100 degrees today. And if you're working outdoors, keep the watcher at the ready, because it's going to get even more intense tomorrow and on Wednesday as well.
And
they're saying with the humidity and the heat index, yeah, it's going to feel like 105 degrees.
Realize how quickly it can get away from you.
Yes.
That's why you need to, like as I always say before, you know, we've said many times, bring a senior citizen out and have them sit there. When they pass out, it's time to go in.
Yeah, you need to go inside. Yeah. It's the grandmometer.
The grandmometer works like a charm.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so today's lesson question, a prize we have for you is a night at Parks Casino. And that includes two tickets to see Mick Adams and the Stones, which they are a tribute band, and $50 Parks gift card, good for food at the Beer Garden, Parks Grill, or Liberty Bell Gastropub. So it's a night there. Should be cool show and some food. Question that I have for you this morning is, Prince William promised to kiss a 96-year-old woman who requested a lot of tongue, so much so that he could taste her what? 215-263-WMMR. It's a very specific answer. Let's see if you know the answer to that. Prince William promised to kiss a 96-year-old woman who requested a lot of tongue, so much so that he could taste her what? Let's see if you know the answer. We'll do the trash while you call in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by 80 Moyer Lumber. 80 Moyer Lumber has been supplying quality building materials and service for over 80 years. Four generations, one family, one commitment. Learn more at admoyer.com. What's up, Steve?
Well, Chris Crocker, who cried "Leave Britney Spears Alone" in a viral video years ago, says he still wants the best for her, even though she thinks he is weird and frightening. Crocker says he was going through a rough patch at the time, but has found his calling, teaching strike fighter tactics at the Top Gun Academy.
Wow. So,
yeah, he changed his whole life around. This is of interest to you, Preston. Author George R.R. Martin says he regrets the Game of Thrones TV series going beyond his books, and says his new novels will correct the series ending. Oh. Martin says his original ending will be realized with the students of Winterfell High School getting to dance on Westeros Bandstone.
Oh, no.
It's going to be really cool.
I love it.
And finally, Kay Robertson, a.k.a. Miss Kay, the matriarch of the Duck Dynasty family, is recuperating from a severe dog bite on her lips. Apparently, Robertson's lips were so mangled that the only one who could understand her was Cousin Nell.
Oh.
So
there you go.
That's a Hollywood track.
All right, we shall see if we have someone who has the answer. Prince William promised to kiss a 96-year-old woman who requests a lot of tongue, so much so he could taste what? And I will go to Lauren this morning. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right.
Hi, guys.
Lauren, so what could Prince William taste when he used all that tongue?
That would be the organ that's filled with bile, the pancreas.
The pancreas. You got it, Lauren. Hang on just a second. And we are going to give you a night out at Parks Casino. You get two tickets to see Mick Adams and the Stones, a Rolling Stones tribute concert, and a $50 Parks gift card, which is good for food at the Beer Garden, Parks Grill, or Liberty Bell Gastropub. Mick Adams and the Stones, one of the top 10 tribute bands in the world, July 9th and 10th. That will be at the Excite Center, and tickets are on sale now at parkscasino.com. You must be 21 or older. Huh. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I love it.
Now, tribute band. Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
You know, I've never been to see a tribute band.
But they're
before.
Really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, there used to be a band on Long Island years ago called Crystal Ship, and they were a Doors tribute band, and they were like, pretty freaking good.
Nice.
And a Pink Lloyd, always good.
No. Pink Lloyd.
But Crystal Ship, yeah, they were some, like Rain is a tribute band, basically, right, for the Beatles?
Yeah. Or Rain, is that the Cirque du Soleil? Well, Love is the Cirque du Soleil. I don't know.
Maybe I'm so. Just a...
Ask Lloyd. Ask Pink Lloyd.
Lloyd!
The Fab Foe is a good Beatles tribute band.
Very much so. You know what? Yeah, then I have seen a tribute band. What the hell am I talking about?
I don't know.
All right, music news.
What
brought
you want from me?
And the Goo Fighters.
Santa's got to go. Brought to you by Craft Beer Trail of Greater Philadelphia, covering five counties with over 90 breweries and 1,000 beers. Don't miss a summer weekend along with the Craft Beer Trail of Greater Philadelphia. You can get your fill at visitphilly.com. Marilyn Manson has reportedly agreed to turn himself into authorities to face assault charges in New Hampshire involving a female videographer.
Interesting.
At a concert his 2 years ago. This is for the spitting thing. This has nothing
not
to do with
sexual stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A warrant was issued for Manson, whose legal name is Brian Werner, in October of 2019. During his show at the Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion in Guilford, Manson had spit directly on a camera being operated by one of the venue's videographers, and that image was projected on the screens behind the stage. The videographer opted to press charges because she claimed some of the spit came into contact with her.
Disgusting.
And apparently, I think he did it a few times. He did it once he saw that it annoyed her. He was doing it on purpose.
No.
Manson reportedly plans to turn himself into police in Los Angeles and will be booked and released on bail with the condition under the condition that he have no contact with the victim in question. Hmm. Anthrax, speaking of crimes and so on, Anthrax's Frank Bello recalled patrolling the streets of New York with a gun looking for the murderer of his younger brother in 1996. Bello's 23-year-old brother, Anthony, was shot 3 times in the Bronx, and the case was never solved. In a recent episode of a podcast, he admitted that he, quote, kind of snapped. He said, "I didn't know me anymore. I didn't know this dark side I had. I went looking. I hunted, and very discreetly." He said, "I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. I never touched a gun in my life, but I went to people I shouldn't have talked to back then. All the things you can think of." I didn't see or hear the rest of this interview, and I assume he probably regrets doing that because of what could have happened to his life had he gone out and taken someone's life.
Or killed himself.
And horribly taken the wrong person's life or something like that. So it's just an interesting thing that where you can go to when pushed to a certain level. Jane's Addiction frontman Perry Farrell says he hopes the band will regroup for at least one more album. He said, "I love the guys in Jane's Addiction. I want to record with them, but I don't know what their plans are, but I do talk to them about it." He said, "These days it's a little different. We," meaning us older guys that are established now, "there's not really a need to come out with albums. Although maybe one more album before I die would be awesome with Jane's, and I think that we can do it too. I would like to be prolific for the next 5 years, I think. Then I'll be able to take a vacation." He went on to say, "I call them up from time to time, and I tell them, 'Hey, I got this track, man,' but they're not ready. So I'll give it off to my solo project, Kind Heaven Orchestra." And they never really get around to making an album. But maybe we can ask him about that September 25th.
It's the kind of
Jane's Addiction at the MMRBQ.
Industry, or in general, like with Quentin Tarantino, you know, between movies, there's so much time and there's so much. You can just stop and kind of, you know, like, okay, you know, I think I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And Perry Farrell and a lot of the bands, he's right. You reach a certain time and you have your backlog and so on and so forth. It's very rare that you're constantly called upon. Like here, like we have to do a new show every day. In other words, it's a different kind of environment, but
to create new content all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right. Courtney Love used social media to call attention to the obvious similarities between the cover of her band Hole's 1994 album Live Through This and Olivia Rodrigo's debut album called Sour. Both album covers feature a prom queen with running mascara holding a large bouquet of flowers. Rodrigo appeared to pay homage to Love's album in a very familiar photo of herself in the art for her Sour prom concert film.
Is she the driver's license girl? Is that, okay.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
No, her hit song was Driver's License. Oh, it was okay. Like, you know, I enjoyed the song myself. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Love posted Rodrigo's album cover and wrote, "Spot the difference, twinning." Although she did follow it with a couple of upbeat emojis, including a winky face, and she didn't stop there. Referencing the Ellen von Unworth who... referring to Ellen von Unworth, who photographed Love's album cover, Courtney wrote on Facebook that it was rude to create the image without her permission. But Rodrigo's fans started hitting back on Twitter and posting photos from the movie Carrie, which seemed to be where Courtney Love's album got its inspiration for that title. So, I don't know, man.
Ah, hell.
Bruce Springsteen's return to Broadway began on Saturday night on stage at New York City's St. James Theater. USA
Death
Day,
of a Salesman, right?
I forgot the name of the show.
I'm tired of sailing stuff. I like being home with my son's fifth and happy.
It's Springsteen on Broadway. USA Today reported the revamp.
I tell you, this sailing stuff's going to be the death of me. Wink, wink.
The revamped version of the Tony Award-winning Springsteen on Broadway show had several special guests in the audience for opening night, including Stephen Van Zandt.
Wow.
And a New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. According to reports, there were protesters outside the theater demonstrating against the show's vaccine requirement. Mm. The show featured several new twists and turns, both thematically and musically, with he and wife Patti Sciarfa trading their duet of Brilliant Disguise for Fire as one of their two team-ups, and The Boss including his 2000 song American Skin 41 Shots, underscoring the murder of George Floyd. So they added that one in. The song replaced the 2005 Devils and Dust standout Long Time Coming. Bruce also replaced the show's finale, Born to Run, with the 2020 Letter to You closer, I'll See You in My Dreams. Bruce told the crowd at one point, "We're living in troubled and troubling times. I don't believe I've seen another moment, certainly not in my lifetime, where the survival of democracy itself, not just who's going to be running for the running the show for the next 4 years, but the survival of democracy itself is deeply threatened." He also addressed the protesters outside. He said, "I'm frightened for us. I understand those folks out in the street. It's scary, scary times filled with confusion." And he also didn't shy away from his November 2019 arrest at New Jersey's Sandy Hook National Recreation Area, to which he pleaded guilty to charges he had imbibed alcohol despite knowing that it was prohibited.
Right.
He was sentenced to pay $500 and $40 in court fees. Bruce broke his silence on the topic by telling the audience, "I was handcuffed and thrown in jail. That took some doing. It wasn't easy. I didn't wake up one morning, get on my motorcycle, and say, I think I'll drive to jail. My case was the United States of America versus Bruce Springsteen. That's always comforting to hear. The entire nation is aligned against you. My hometown, New Jersey, they love me there," he said. Bruce also spoke lovingly of his 96-year-old mother, Adele, who's battling Alzheimer's, explaining she can't speak, she can't stand. But when she sees me there, there's a smile and there's still a kiss and there's a sound she makes. And I know it means I love you. When I put on Glenn Miller, she starts moving in her chair, reaching out for me to take her in my arms once more and dance. I love her. Oh, man. So I guess maybe she can't speak. I don't know what the story is.
Sounds like she's pretty far gone.
That's terrible.
Not that he has to, but I'd be interested to see if he ever takes us on the road. You know, he could do it like at the Merriam here in Philly or whatever. And people will come to see him on Broadway, of course. But it'd be cool if it went out on the road.
I mean, the Netflix
it was so good.
Special was excellent. It was actually the first thing I watched fully on my Oculus setup. You know, because they have that little Netflix app. That it's very cool.
So watch it on that.
It was like it was right there in the theater.
Yeah.
It's got lasers and stuff.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. I don't like being a salesman. I just want to stay home and biff and happy and my wife. But I got to go out working for the man. This song is called
I don't want to be dead to the salesman guy. Going out to sell stuff.
Had no idea.
I don't like it at all. It's boring and it sucks. And everyone's gunning for my job. There's Biff and Happy, my sons. They're a bunch of little crumb bums. Don't turn
me home again. Crumb bums.
Never liked them.
About time they made it into a song. All right, and then...
Frank Rizzo.
You're a real crumb bum.
Here he is. Stand up. Let the people see you. Oh, you're dead.
Get away from me.
I don't know if you can be nasty, but...
He could take you physically, you know that?
And sexually.
Yeah, and sexually if he wanted to.
By myself, I'll take you physically.
Wow.
You're less than a man.
Whoa.
You're a sub-man.
You're under-man.
Yeah. You're an under-man.
Yeah. All right, I have one last story. Former Skid Row singer Johnny Solinger passed away. He was only 55 years old.
I was not really that familiar with him.
I wasn't familiar at all with him. He had replaced Sebastian Bach in 1999. The band said in a statement, "We're saddened to hear the news of our brother Johnny Solinger, and our thoughts are with his family, friends, and fans. Godspeed, Singo. Say hello to Scrappy for us."
Scrappy-Doo?
I don't know. Solinger announced on his Facebook page in May that he was hospitalized after being diagnosed with liver failure. He had said it was with a heavy heart. I must let everyone know what's going on with me and my health. I have been hospitalized for over the last month. I've been diagnosed with liver failure, and the prognosis is not so good.
Very young.
Yeah, a verified GoFundMe campaign was created shortly after by his friend Brian Lawrence to help pay for his medical bills and palliative care. Lawrence had been posting updates on Solinger's health regularly. But on Sunday, Lawrence had posted an update from his wife, Paula, saying, "Johnny has passed. I was holding his hand. He went in peace. Thank you all. I will take a break from everything, but please know that I'm forever grateful for your love." So it's terrible news.
It's very bad. Yeah. So, yeah. Sad to see that.
Yep. All right. That's it. That's what I have in music news. Sorry to be end on a downer there, Bruce.
We got
to
do it sometime. That's what life's about.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Rizzo. Frank, get on the back of my motorcycle.
He's there to count off the song?
Yes. Do it one time. Count down, Frank.
Right. 1, 2, 3.
The screen door's left. Frank Rizzo's dress wave. You ever see that kind of dress?
You're a coward.
I am not. I'm just saying it.
You're a creep.
Am I a creep creme?
You're a crumb creep.
All right. That's all we have time for. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Just the Preston Steve Show.
Just me.
He's taking over.
He's really upset.
It's just him.
Okay, yeah. Well, how about you and Preston and Steve? Okay.
Just the three of us, four of us, me and you.
Okay. Oh, me?
Yeah, you too, Case. You're a part of it. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
MMR's Essential 200, a daily look at the songs that influenced, elevated, or flat-out changed what we call rock and roll. These are the big ones and the not-so-obvious ones that every rock fan should know. Go to WMMR.com now to vote for the songs most essential to you. We'll be playing them back in order on a blockbuster 4th of July weekend. MMR's Essential 200 with Jackson, weekdays at 4.
From Meineke for all your automotive repair needs.
And 93.3 WMMR, the station that's played everything that rocks Philly since day one.
Coming to a close for a Monday morning, a hot one indeed. And we thank you for being a part of the program today. And you were our one and only guest today. Who knows what's coming up next? We're going to have some guests a little further down the road. I do want to reiterate some information, just to make sure you're aware of it, and it's the fact that we have released new dates, or save the dates, for Camp Out for Hunger 2021. It's going to be a little earlier than usual. We had moved it a week earlier last year because of COVID, and now there are some scheduling issues with the sports complex. We're like, you know what, let's work with that. And so we are going to do it even earlier, November 1st to November 5th. So just kidding. I know it's well in advance, but maybe you plan your food drives with schools or work or whatever. So
yes,
you need to be made aware of that situation. Details at WMMR.com. We'll get more information down the road about that. Brett Porsche is
good
here.
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, thanks. And you mentioned Jeff Walton earlier with Villafranca. They're pumped for that the car show that they have lined up for that.
I love it, man.
I'm so looking forward to it because it was so much fun the first time it was done. We couldn't quite do it the way, you know, last year, obviously, with everything that was going on. But it was just so much fun.
And all the different cars down there. I mean, if you're a gearhead, it's really cool to check out.
I'm admiring your shirt. I like that a lot. It's a Trocadero shirt. Where did you get that? Because it's got the beginning and end dates on it.
Online.
Really?
Yeah, just on a website online.
I got to get one.
Yeah. You should have said you were there the night Elton John performed for the first time in the United States. And that's where you got that shirt.
Well, I mean, it's a theater that goes back
to... that's the Troubadour.
Oh, that's right.
Trocadero.
Yes.
Here in Philly.
Oh, I didn't even...
But did you realize that Trocadero's been around since 1870?
We knew it was... It closed for a while, but it started back then. And at one time, it was like a burlesque club and all that stuff.
Oh, I had a complete brain fart. I love that. We used to have our screenings there, Preston, for the... it's funny how it falls out of your mind. It hasn't been around for a while.
Yeah,
it was great.
All right. Well, listen, sir, we need you this week. If you can handle a responsibility, a letter each day for me.
Okay. We can do that.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
The letter U is an underoos.
All right. And we do have a word that will be formed by the time we get to Friday. And we have a prize that we will give away. And it is from Revivalist Spirits. A bottle of each of these, all right? So they're amazing Revivalist Vodka, they're refreshing Revivalist Summertide Gin, and Young American Bourbon. And also we'll throw in a $50 gift card to the Brandywine Branch Bistro. Revivalist Spirits, voted top craft gin distillery in USA by USA Today. Mm. And you can order online for free delivery anywhere in PA with the purchase of two bottles or more. Must be 21 years of age or older. So you're in this week for Pierre.
And next.
And next
2 weeks. Okay.
All right. Yeah. What do we have in store for today's program, sir?
Workforce blocks today. Tom Petty. Today's the 20th anniversary of his Camden show, so we're going to play some live stuff for that.
Wow.
Killers, their bassist Mark Stormer, celebrating a birthday today, so we're going to do some Killers. And Ronnie James Dio. Pierre actually forwarded me an email from a listener, so I got some requests for Ronnie James Dio. We're going to be doing some Heaven and Hell, Rainbow, some solo stuff, so that's coming your way at noon today.
I love it. Stick around for Brent. I'm going to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve show brought to you today by Acme. They have everything that you need to prep for this summer season. Acme fresh foods and local flavors. And also brought to you by A.D. Moyer. Higher quality building materials, fair prices, and trusted experts since 1939. Tomorrow on the program, looks like we are going to have... the actor who played Mike TV from Willy Wonka.
Oh, yeah.
Paris Themer. Or is it Themen?
Themen? Themen.
Themen will be
really
joining us.
Good.
We're going to talk Jason Kelsey.
Oh.
I haven't spoke to him in a little while, and we'll have a Tattoozday and more. That is it. We are done. So rage on and have yourself a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, okay? Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the bop-a-doo-da-ba-doo-ba-ba-ba-doo-ga-ga-ba-ba-dop.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.